జయం శుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం త్రిలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీఅద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపగోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావనధామ్కి మాయపూర్ధామ్కి మధురపురిధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురిధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురిధామ్కి గంగమాయికి హిమనిమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సింబల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సింబల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సింబల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీ శిష్య శ్రీ గురు అని శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీ శిష్యుల ప్రభుపా నమామి శ్రీపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాన్ శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి శ్రీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరద చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాన్ తేనే బ్రహ్మహృదాయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యంది యత్సూరయాన్ తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషాం ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వాపరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణాన్ నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుగముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుదం పిబద భాగవతం రసం ఆలయం ముహురహో రసిగా భువి భావుకా సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేదవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమాం యం ప్రవ్రజందం హనువేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమజ్జుహావాం పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేగం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అదితిదీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోర ముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణు కుణిదాద్రదానందో మమ వాచి విజృంభదాం మురారే మధురిన్న కణిగావి కావి కావి నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిన్నితి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశతారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురు చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్టశా యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీ చరణారవింద పరమానవే నమ పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగా వేదవేద్య పరం బ్రహ్మ సదాం పురదో మమ. మూగం కరోతి వాజాలం భంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. దేవకి ఉవాచాం రూపం యత్ల్ ప్రాహురవ్యక్తమాద్యం బ్రహ్మజ్యోతిర్నిర్గుణం నిర్వికారం సత్తామాత్రం నిర్విశేషం నిరీహం సత్వం సాక్షాల్ విష్ణు అధ్యాత్మదీపాహం. నష్టే లోకే ద్విపరార్థావసాని మహాభూతేష్వాదిభూతం గదేషు వ్యక్తే అవ్యక్తం కాలవేగేన యాదే భవానేక శిష్యదే శేష సంజ్ఞాః. యోయం కాలస్తస్య దే అవ్యక్త బంధో చేష్టామాహుశ్చేష్టదే యేన విశ్వం నిమేషాదిర్వత్సరాందో మహీయాం స్వం స్వం త్వేషానం క్షేమధామ ప్రబద్ధ్యే. మర్త్యో మృత్యువ్యాలభీద పలాయన్ లోకాన్ సర్వా నిర్భయం నాధ్యగచ్చత్ త్వల్పాదాబ్జం ప్రాప్య దృచ్ఛయాద్య స్వస్థశేదే మృత్యురస్మాద్ అపైతి. సత్వం ఘోరాదుగ్రసేనాత్మజాన్నం స్త్రాహిత్రస్థాన్ మృత్యవిత్రాసహాసి రూపం చేదం పౌరుషం ధ్యానధిష్ణ్యం మా ప్రత్యక్షం మాంసదృశాం కృషీష్టాః. సో దేవకీ స్ప్రేయర్స్ టు Krishna. We saw yesterday that Devaki spoke to Krishna about who Krishna is, as Devaki understands that. So we have mentioned there about the Satamatram Nirvishesham Niriham. Satamatram, Krishna is Satamatram. Satamatram means pure existence, pure existence. There is no tinge of any material presence there. It's completely spiritual. And Satamatram. So, Satamatra Shariram. Krishna's body is Satamatram. Satamatra Shariram means that that it is pure consciousness. The body is also pure consciousness. Nirvishesham. You cannot give any adjectives to that. It is Nirvishesham. You cannot explain that in any particular way. Niriham. Niriham means there is no desires or any kind of kamam or desires in that body, craving for anything. None of them can touch that. Therefore, it is called Adhyatma Deepam. The word used is Adhyatma Deepam. Adhyatma Deepam. So, that is what, if you remember in the beginning, Vedavyasa, Sukadeva Goswami also mentioned that, Adhyatma Deepam, the word. యస్యానుభావం అఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం, హీ సేస్. హూ సుద గోస్వామి సేస్ అబౌట్ సుఖదేవ్ గోస్వామి లైక్ దిస్ దాట్ సుఖదేవ్ గోస్వామి హడ్ కమ్ టు ప్రెసెంట్ అస్ దట్ అధ్యాత్మదీపం. కృష్ణ ఇస్ దట్ అధ్యాత్మదీపం. సీ దాట్ వర్డ్ అధ్యాత్మదీపం. అధ్యాత్మదీపం ఈజ్ కృష్ణ. సో హియర్ దేవగీదేవి ఆల్సో ఈస్ గ్లోరిఫైయింగ్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ అధ్యాత్మదీపం. And there, Sudha Goswami says about Sukadeva Goswami that he has come to present us that Adhyatma Deepam. Yaswanubhavam akhila shruti saramekam Adhyatma Deepam Atitirshadam tamondham. Atitirshadam tamondham. Unless you cross over this whole ignorance, this, remember, that strong, thick ignorance inside, which you cannot see, but it's there, which we experience, that the presence of that thick ignorance inside us, isn't it? That unless we cross over that, you cannot see the Adhyatma Deepam, that light inside, the spiritual realization, in other words. Adhyatma Deepam Adititirshadam Tamondham. Very difficult to cross over that tamas to get there. Therefore, samsarinam karunayaha. But because of the compassion for samsaris like us, who are trapped in this samsara, material existence, to us, towards us, karunayaha. Sukadeva Goswami felt karunyam, mercy for us. And then what did he do? Purana Guhyam, the essence of all the most ancient Puranam, Srimad Bhagavata Guhyam, very confidential thing. Samsarinam karunayaha purana guhyam tam vyasasunu mupayami. Vedavyasa Maharshi's son, Vyasasunu, Sukadeva Goswami, out of his compassion for us, he revealed that knowledge unto us. Purana guhyam tam vyasasunu mupayami gurum muninam. To that spiritual master, I pay my respectful obeisances. Saying this, Sudha Goswami began Srimad Bhagavatam. If you look in the first canto, you will see in the first verse itself. So, so karmam has created karma vasana, isn't it? So many lifetimes we have executed karmam in different bodies, and that karmam has thickened and thickened, and it become karma vasana, a very, very strong, strong padalam. Padalam it is called. Padalam means a very strong wall of karma vasana inside. Atyayasakarani karma badalani ajari niryanmalani bhode bhakti padedava uchatita mayandikim tavada klishtva tarkapade param. So, atyayasakarani karma badalani ajari niryanmalani. Atyayasakarani karma badalani. This karma badalam, the karma vasana inside, is a very strong wall that we have created. Ajarya niryanmalani bhode bhakti padedava chuchitada mayandigim tavada klishtva tarkapade param tavavapur brahmakhyamanye puna chitardratvamrade vichindi bahubi siddhyanti janmandareihi. After many, many lifetimes, when one executes bhakti process, klishtva tarkapade param tavavapur brahmakhyamanye punam, that there is no doubt about this. If one executes Krishna consciousness for several lifetimes, what will happen? This karma vasana will come down. It will come down. That desire for karma, for action, and engaging in different kind of activities, that desires will go from inside. Its eyes will go from inside. Klishtva tarkavade param davavapur. That you can study shastram and argue about all these things, but brahmakhyamanye punaschittardratvamrate. But if you hear about Krishna's pastimes in the Bhagavadam, param davavapur brahmakhyamanye, what will happen? Schittardratvamrate vichindi bahubi. That very easily this desire for karma vasana will go away from us. Karma vasana is a big disease. Actually, it is not karma vasana to call it. Really, the right word to use is karma rogam, the disease of doing karma. It's a rogam, it's a disease it is inside us. Klishtva tarkapade param davavapur brahmakhyamanye punam chittardratvamrade vichindi bahubi siddhyanti janmandareihi. That after many, many lifetimes, when what one has accumulated in the form of karma vasana, that will slowly start melting down, and attraction for karma will go from inside. Karma will go from inside. Attraction for karma will go. What will happen? Chittardratvamradehi. Our consciousness, subtle body, will start melting. Melting means what? Karma vasana is getting released from inside. That is the benefit of that. Bhakti can do that. Bhakti, bhakti, bhakti. There is no other way to remove that karma vasana from inside. Bhakti is the only way to remove that karma vasana inside. So what will happen? Atyayasakarani karma padalani. that very, very difficult, difficult activities we have engaged, karani, karma patalani, and karma patalam, that thick band of karma inside, ajarya niryan malani, after hearing from ajarya, one comes to understand that ajarya niryan malani bodhe, that he comes to realize that I have to take Krishna's shelter. That's the realization that comes. Bhakti padeda vach uchitadam. That he comes to the process of bhakti yoga. Bhakti padam means bhakti, path of bhakti. He takes to the path of bhakti. Mayandi kim tavadam. What can Maya do at that time? Klishtva tarkavade param tavavapurum. That there is no doubt about that. Klishtam. Klishtam means the beautiful process of bhakti. Tarkavade param tavavapur brahmakhyam anye punaham. Chittardratvamadai vijindibahubi siddhyandi janmandarehi. A person will come to this process of bhakti janmandare after several lifetimes. He will take it seriously. He will take it very seriously. So what tamasapurastam aditya varnam tamasaparastam says here, isn't it? So this tamogunam that has come in us, what should we do to cross over that tamogunam? To cross over that tamogunam, only then the adhyatma divam, the spiritual light, Krishna, will be manifesting. Otherwise, what do we have to do for that? Otherwise, that adhyatma divam will not be of any use to us. Adhyatma divam is there. Divam means light, the spiritual light, Krishna, is there, covered by this strong, dark tamogunam covering that. So you will notice this also in Bhagavadam, spoken in a different way. Bhagavadam will here and there touch this subject very nicely. When Arjuna was going to to bring the children of the Brahmana from Vaikuntham, remember, Krishna has taken Arjuna in a chariot and they were driving the chariot to go to Vaikuntham. Can you imagine driving the chariot to Vaikuntham? So they were driving the chariot to Vaikuntham. And when they were going to Vaikuntham on the way, all the way there is darkness. All the way there is darkness. And they couldn't, Arjuna says, I can't see properly the route, the motorway or whatever that was there. It's not clear, he says. The route is not clear. At that time, Krishna took his Sudarshana disc and showed the light to him. The go this way, he said. And created the light. And that is Adhyatma Divam. In Bhagavadam, in katha form, it is spoken like that. Basically, what it means is that with Krishna's help, Arjuna crossed over the ignorance. Arjuna crossed over the ignorance. That chitshakti, Krishna's chitshakti, is the adhyatma deepam. So, Krishna is that lamp in front of Devaki Devi who has come now. And that lamp, Krishna, has actually illuminated Devaki's heart, illuminated Devaki's heart. And Devaki saw Krishna, the light of knowledge, Jnana Deepam. Krishna saw, Devaki saw the Jnana Deepam. Devaki Devi's darkness was completely taken away from her heart. After saying this, this is Devaki Devi glorified Krishna. Now, this Samadhi state, which Devaki Devi experienced there, it is called Kripa Samadhi. Kripa Samadhi means that it's out of Krishna's mercy she got it. Not that she was qualified any other way. Just because Krishna showed some mercy to her, that she experienced that samadhi state. And in that samadhi state, she is speaking all these things. Otherwise, you couldn't speak these verses. So, samadhi, different samadhis are there. Jnana samadhi is there through self-realization, through knowledge. This is not jnana samadhi. Yoga Samadhi is there through the Ashtanga Yoga process reaching a Samadhi state. But none of them, this is called Kripa Samadhi. Kripa, Krishna's mercy. Simply Krishna gave mercy to her. Now you can see me who I am in that sense. And she experienced it. She experienced it. That's why she was glorifying in that way. Kripa Samadhi. So, if you keep Devaki Devi in that state, the other pastimes won't happen. So a lot of other things has to happen after this, isn't it? So, straight away, Krishna brought her back to the ordinary state again. Ordinary consciousness.
like the mother feeling. Mother feeling came out over there. That's why you will see. That what you will see, after three verses, the fear came back to Devaki again, of Kamsa. If you are self-realized, where is the question of feeling fear of Kamsa? There is no question. But because the Krishna decided a temporary experience, Vasudeva also had a temporary self-realized state, experience, samadhi state, and then pulled back. Again, same thing with Devaki also. Krishna pulled back that samadhi experience, samadhi state. So that is why in verse 28, if you look, you will see, Sattvam ghorad ugrasenatmajan astrahi trastan brityavitrasahasi rupam chedam paurusham dhyanadhishnyam ma pratyaksham mam sadrasham krishishtaha. Devaki Devi is praying to Krishna now that please protect us from that demon Kamsa. From that demon Kamsa. You are the protector of those devotees who have taken your shelter. And only this form, what you have shown in front of us now, which is only seen by the yogis, that is this four-handed form, which Krishna has exhibited at that time. This four-handed form normally is seen only by the yogis. Please do not show this to people who have got eyes, mamsa drishtya. Mamsa drishtya means who have got eyes just like we have got with the flesh and blood and all that made of there. With that eye, they should not be able to see this form. They are not able to see this form. In other words, that four-handed form which the yogis meditate, the jnanis realize it, the devotees are also performing meditation on that. That particular form is not visible for those who have this kind of eyes made of this material elements or conditioned nature. That's what she was saying to him. So Devaki says to Krishna that this Kamsa, who is the son of Ugrasena, when I think about that, I feel frightened. He may come any moment. So, therefore, I want to say this to you right now. Rupam chedam paurusham dhyana dhishnyam mam pratyaksham amsadrasham krishishtaham. That this form which you have exhibited in front of us, which is generally seen through meditation, that specific form you should not show to Kamsa, who has got Mamsa Drishti. It's called Mamsa Drishti. Mamsa Drishti means Kamsa should not see that. Why is he called Mamsa Drishti? Mamsa Drishti means one who cannot see the soul. One who cannot see the soul. Chaitanyam, living force in anyone. Living force in anyone. One who cannot see a living force in anyone, he has called Mamsa Drishti. Mamsa means flesh. Mamsa Drishti. So one who cannot see the living force, soul's presence in anyone, he is called Mamsa Drishti. Mamsa Drishti. So Mamsa Drishti, Krishna, for him, he can only see the flesh. He can only see the flesh. Mamsa Drisha, Krishishtaha. All materialists are Mamsa Drishti. All materialists are called Mamsa Drishti. That, why is it like that? Because whenever they look at somebody, someone, they'll see the flesh in their body. That's all they can see. They can't see the living force inside. They can't see the living. So, some people, they see a little bit of life also in a person. Life. Life also in a person. Particularly those who are eating meat. Those who are eating meat. When they see the goats, or the or ducks, lambs, cows, everything, they won't even see it that there is a life inside. They will just see it as mamsa, flesh. That's all they will. How much flesh is there in the body? Just like when we when we look at eggplant or okra or any vegetables, in the same way they are looking at these animals also. In the same way, when you go to the shop, vegetable shops, You look at nice fresh vegetables. When you see that, you feel some happiness. First class vegetables, you say. Some nice fresh vegetables. When you see that, you feel a happiness, isn't it? When you see nice good vegetables, you feel happiness. Similarly, this Mamsa Drishya, once you have got this Mamsa Drishya, when they see the goats, lambs, cows and all other animals, chicken, everything, they'll just, yeah, very good, very nice to eat. That thoughts will occur in their mind. That's why they are called Mamsa Drishti. Mamsa Drisham Krishi Ishtaha. So, therefore, Mamsa Drik. Only Mamsam, the flesh, they will see. So, one who is seeing the Mamsam flesh, how will see the spiritual soul inside? The spirit soul inside. So, where will they get that Chaitanya Drishti? They have got Mamsa Drishti. They will never have Chaitanya Drishti. Therefore, Devaki Devi is saying here, to addressing Krishna, that you have appeared now and he will come running now. Who? Kamsa will come. Please, before he comes, cover this form, change this form. When Devaki Devi said that, initially Krishna was in this conchal disc, lotus flower and the club in the hand, in that most attractive form. But at that point, Krishna says to Vasudeva and Devaki like this. That is the verse 32. What did she say? What did she say? Vasudeva and Devaki is talking to 32. Krishna says to Vasudeva and Devaki in the verse 32. The other verses, what is mentioned there is, apart from the first verse, first, second and third verse, they are all glorifications of Devaki Devi. After that, she has come down, fallen back into her original state. And the first three verses are spoken from that realized state. And the remaining verses are spoken from the normal state, what she was before. And that is why she starts about Ugrasena, Kamsa, Ugrasena's son, who is frightening us and all that. In the realized state, you couldn't speak like that. So she has come back to that state. And she continued that, she also said there at the last of the verses, Vishwamyadedal Sodano Nishandi, Yathavakasham Purushaparyo Bhavan, Vivartisoyamamagarghavagobhu, Aho Nurlogasavidambanam Hital. Verse 31. She says that, although you are the Supreme Person, at the time of devastation, this whole universe, you accept that within your body. And that personality has come and taken birth from me. And this is only a pastime. This is only a pastime, Devaki said. At that time, Krishna says to Vasudeva and Devaki like this. Verse 32. Tvameva purvasarge bhur prishni swayambhuve sadi tadayam sutapanama prajapati agalmasham. Krishna is now reminding Devaki and Vasudev, what is Krishna, what was your relationship with me in the previous lifetime? In the previous lifetime, that is what. In Swayambhu Manu's time, to Devaki she says, you were Prishni. And this Vasudeva was Sutapas. They were sages at that time, in the Swayambhu Manu's time. Swayambhu's time, they were Prishni and Sutapas. At that time, I have appeared as your son as Prishni Garbha. And Yuvam Vai Brahmanadishto Prajasargeyata Tatam Sanyam Yendriya Gramam Te Pathe Paramam Tapam. Actually, you have performed such intense austerities and penances to please me under instructions from Brahma. You have controlled your senses very well and concentrated your mind, and you have executed first class austerities at that time. And that austerity is what is spoken in the 34 words. Varshavada tabahimam karma kala gunananu sahamanu shwasarodhavayir dhudhamanu malau. Without caring for the rain, the sun, the wind, the snow and the heat, everything, tolerating everything, completely controlling by the air, life air, pranayamam, and controlling the breath, and they have destroyed all and purified themselves very much and performed the penances at that time.
Shirnaparna nilaharam upashandena chedasa matta kamana bhipsando matha aradhanami hadum.
And what they were eating, the dry leaves and air, they were having it, and they performed their penances like that. Who? Vasudevan Devaki. In that previous lifetime, you have executed such severe penances like that.
Evam mam tapya dosti vram tava paramadushkaram divya varsha sahasrani dvadeshayormadal manom.
So that kind of intense penances you have performed, and by now 12,000 divine years, Divya Samvatsaram has gone. It's a very, very long period of time. You have passed through that. She says, Krishna says to Vasudeva and Devaki at that time. And so therefore here you can see that Vasudeva in previous lifetime was Sutapas as a Prajapati. He was a Prajapati. Devaki was Prashni, and Krishna appeared as Prashnigarbha. And after that, in the next life, Krishna again appeared as their son, as Aditi Devi and Kashyapa Prajapati, their son as Vamana Murti, as Vamana, Lord Vamana, he has appeared at that time because they prayed for Krishna to come as their son. So they appeared to protect them at that time. So, but in both these appearances, first one as Prashni Garbha and the second one was Vamana Murti, Vasudeva and Devaki did not realize the truth. Still did not realize the truth. Although Krishna appeared as their son, still self-realization did not happen to Vasudeva and Devaki in two lifetimes. The reason was that both Vasudeva and Devaki actually wanted children. They wanted children. They didn't think about liberation seriously. They thought if liberation comes, it's fine. If it doesn't come, it's okay. Like us. We are also busy in this world. If by chance liberation comes, we'll take it. If it doesn't come, doesn't matter. That casual approach. They were also like that. That is why Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vyasayalpiya buddhi ekeha gurunandana. One who is not fixed on the spiritual path, you will not make it. Isn't it? He says there in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Vyasayalpiya buddhi. That Vyasayalpiya buddhi did not happen to Vasudeva and Devaki. So Krishna says there that because there was this little bit of coverage of Maya inside for Vasudeva and Devaki, they did not feel like asking, is there no better opportunity than that? When Krishna has come as your son, you could have asked for liberation, isn't it? It was the best opportunity they had, but they didn't. Instead, what happened? They just took it, let the life go on like this, and Vasudeva was there, Devaki was there. So, they didn't ask for that. That's why in the 39th verses, you will see the reason why they did not ask is mentioned there in the 39th verse. Ajushtagrami vishaya vanapatyaujadam padi navavrati apavargami mohidau mamamayaya. That they were not having much of sense gratification. Neither Kashyapa Prajapati and Aditi Devi or Prishni or Sutapas, they were free from sense enjoyment. So normally you would have thought if somebody is free from sense enjoyment, there should be more serious about spiritual life, isn't it? But that didn't, and they didn't have children at that time. And therefore, what they did was that although Krishna says, I was capable of giving you liberation, because you were affected by the Maya, Mama Maya, Krishna's Maya, because of my Maya, you were affected by my Maya, you did not ask for liberation. Because you didn't ask for it, I didn't give it either. Krishna says. So the same thing here, that you can see that Maya's role right up to the last minute is to hold us back. Whatever way she can hold us back in this world, she will do that. Mohita omama mayam. Because of my maya, you didn't ask for the process of liberation. And you didn't ask us or ask me about how to realize the truth, self-realization. Therefore, I have come again. As Vasudeva and Devaki, you have come. And you have come as my father and mother again. And now that I am born as your son. At least in this lifetime, I have mentioned all these things to remind you of your previous life. Vasudeva and Devaki didn't know what they were before. Krishna is saying to them that you were this and this person. Kashyapa Prajapati and Aditi Devi in your last life. Prior to that, you were Sutapas and Prashnigarbha. At least it is good that Krishna has spoken like that to Vasudeva and Devaki. Vasudeva and Devaki immediately, that Purva Janma Smarana, that previous life memory, they got back. They got it back. And then they started realizing the mistake they have done in the past. It's better Krishna don't tell us what our previous lives were. If Krishna tells us our previous life, it won't be a very happy situation here. What we were, first of all, we don't know what we were in the previous life. But the good thing is that we don't know about the previous life. So Krishna says there, after as soon as Krishna is born, he talks about these things to Devaki Devi and Vedavi. And this is Bhagavadam, Bhagavada Darshanam it is called, Bhagavada Darshanam. Through Bhagavadam, realizing the truth in that way. That is the same as Vedanta Darshanam, Bhagavata Darshanam, it's the same. Because in the Bhagavadam, you will see at the very end, Sarva Vedanta Saram hi Srimal Bhagavadam ishyadem Vastu Adhudiyam Tannishtam Kaivalyega Prayojanam. There is a verse Sudha Goswami says, Sarva Vedanta Saram hi Srimad Bhagavadam ishyade. All Vedanta Saram, essence of all the Vedantam is Srimal Bhagavadam. Vastu Advudiyam Tannishtam. This Vastu, what is discussed in this Srimad Bhagavadam, is one without a second. Advudiyam. And Tannishtam Kaivalyega Prayojanam. And it should lead to liberation. The knowledge of the knowledge of Krishna. So, what is the difference here? That Brahmaatmaigatva Lakshanam, Srimad Bhagavadam says like that. So, before one becomes mature, that means sufficient vairagyam develops inside, sufficient detachment from this world. He gives up attachment to the family, children, everything. He gave up everything. Somebody gives up all that and goes away. That means before he becomes fully ripe. Sannyasam and all that, after a ripe stage, one should take sannyasam. That is the general principle. Krishna has spoken about that. So, you can see here the problem that before one has, desires have not left him. There are still desires inside, different kinds of desires. And people give up family life and everything and then start get into meditation. Meditation, dhyanam, all these processes and start discussing shastram. But what will happen is if one does like that, after a while, this person who has left home and is gone away before his desires have gone away from him, vasanas are still there. But due to some pride or whatever, he decided to give up family life and family, children, everything, he's gone away. And he gets involved in the study of shastram. Study of shastram. So what will happen is that knowledge what he is acquiring, it will lose its credibility of the Upanishads. Upanishad Gambhiryam it is called. What does that mean? Upanishad Gambhiryam means that when you study Upanishads, only in a certain state of consciousness, it will have its impact on you. It will have its impact on you. That means those who have got sufficient purity inside, only then when they study Upanishads, it will have a considerable effect on the person. On the person. That is the way the Upanishads knowledge is. Shastram is very particular about that. Upanishads, if we study without sufficient purity inside, it can lead into problems. What kind of problems? Problems is this, then it will simply become an intellectual gymnastic. You will study all the Upanishads and it will become an intellectual gymnastic with that. And that is the type of people who have created problems. Jnana Margam is not a wrong process. Those who have gone and taken Jnana Margam without sufficient qualifications, Adhikari Bhedam, it's called Adhikaritam. Adhikaritam means there are, for everything, every Jnana Margam, Karma Margam, Yoga Margam and all, there is certain pre-qualification for a person who is taking to it. Bhakti Margam, there is no pre-qualification. Anyone can take to Bhakti process. Jnana Margam, there is a pre-qualification. What is that? Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivegam, Ihamutra Bhala Bhogari Viragam, Shamadamadi Shal Sambhati, Mumukshatvam. These four things, they call it a sadhana chatushtayam. Shamam Damam Tidiksha Uparadi Shraddha Samadhanam. That is what it is, Shamadamadi Shambhal Sambhati. Six things. And then Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivegam. That strong conviction inside of temporary thing in this world and permanent thing. That means between the spirit soul and the matter. Very clear demarcation inside. Very clear, very good clarity inside about spirit and matter. If all these things are not there, and if there is desires inside, if such a person takes to this process of knowledge, what will happen is, it will simply develop into an intellectual exercise. The spirit will go. Upanishad spirit, Upanishada Gambhiryam, that will go away from there. And this is what the situation was when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. That they assembled in Benares all sorts of sannyasis and they were discussing purely Upanishads without that proper realization or the qualification of the process of knowledge. Many people, sannyasis, have assembled there and they were interested in discussing about this Jnana Margam, Upanishad Margam through their intellectual exercise. It simply became an intellectual process. It is not an intellectual process. Jnana Margam is not an intellectual process. That's a misunderstanding. And it is such people who have turned the Jnana Margam into an intellectual exercise, they are called as Mayavadis. Prabhupada addressed them as. It is not the Jnana Margam Prabhupada is criticizing. What Prabhupada is saying is about those people who have made this Upanishads process, cheapening it by making it an intellectual exercise. Upanishads is not for intelligence. Upanishads is for experiencing it. It has to come, it has to experience that. And for that, they have put a lot of pre-qualifications. As I mentioned, Nityam Anitya Vastu Vivekam. Very clear realization inside between spirit and the matter, number one. Then, Iha Mutra Bhala Bhoga Viragam. Complete freedom from all kinds of desires for enjoyment and for any kind of happiness in this world. Iha Mutra Bhala Bhoga Viragam. Vairagyam, like that. Shamam Dama Adi Shal Sambhati. Shamam Damam Titiksha Uparadi Shraddha Samadhanam. Six things. Shal Sambhati they are called. All of them sufficiently inside. Above all these three, mumukshatvam, intense desire for liberation from this world. If all these things are there in a person, and then if he takes to Upanishad study, he will get the success. He will be successful. But if they are not there, and then he stays to Upanishads, it will develop into an intellectual exercise. And that is what has happened to these sannyasis in Benares when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Because Mahaprabhu knows these things, isn't it? Mahaprabhu knows that this is, process is not followed properly. Therefore, he took their attention away from it. They are not ready for it, Jnana Margam. They were not ready for it. Before being ready, they were taken to that process. Because all these processes require certain qualifications in a person. And Jnana Margam has a lot more pre-qualification than any other process, unfortunately. Whereas Bhakti Margam doesn't have that. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to them that about that I'm not interested in all these things. I am a fool. Let me chant Hare Krishna, he said. And you also chant. And that's why they started experiencing Mahaprabhu's assembly. They started realizing the importance of Krishna consciousness. Because without sufficient purification inside, if you take to Jnana Margam, it will simply become a pain. Jnana Margam will develop into a kind of intellectual process. Intellectual process. That is what Krishna is saying here. Then, and then what will happen? Those who have, suppose if you have studied also, Jnani study Sanskrit well. And if they study Sanskrit, each word they will start taking and start analyzing it. Ghatam, padam. They have a lot of these things like that. That. And they will argue about this completely on an intellectual level. And it will not help because all of that is simply academic exercise. Academic exercise. Spiritual life, you can't teach like that. You shouldn't do that because it simply became an academic experience. Like you can see now what's happening everywhere, that it has become another university topic, like physics and chemistry and all that. They have developed that also as another faculty, a dean, a professor, lecturers, and like in a university course, you can go through and get your degrees from there. What good is it at the end? No realization at the end, is there? And in all great, all big universities, they have started this kind of courses. For a very long time, this teaching Srimad Bhagavatam and all that in Indian universities didn't happen. It was good. It didn't happen. But as soon as it came to the West, straight away Oxford, Cambridge, everything starts, courses, seminars, everything. Indian universities will not teach Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, because they know very well that it doesn't work like that. There is another process for studying Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, not through university. And that's why none of the Indian universities taught Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Rather, they will teach physics or chemistry or mathematics or whatever, other subjects. It was never a practice to teach through. But what did we do? We made it another university subject. You can have some credits, 6 credits or whatever credits to affiliate it to this university, that university. What a waste of time. What a waste of time. So people don't understand that this is not the process. Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, if you bring into university curriculum, all these things will happen. That is why when Acharya Swamiji brought Jnanamargam, took the essence of the Upanishads and brought the philosophy of Advaitam and everything, initially everything was fine. But after his disappearance, a few 100 or 200 years gone, everything got deteriorated, completely deteriorated. And it has become like this. They will study the subject, and then they will start arguments with each other, and they will say they are all jnanis. They were not jnanis. They were not. They didn't have that qualification for that. So that's why they will start. That he says about that. Ghatova mrtyu pindopya nuyabhicha bhumog nirachalaha padova tandurya pariharadikim khora shamanaha vrutha kandha kshobham vahasi darasa tarka vajasa padam bhojam shambho bhaja parama saukhyam prajasudhi. Acharya Swamiji knows this, that this will happen later on. So what did he say? Ghadova amrat pindopya anurabhiva dhumogmira chala. That ghadam padam. That means that the pot, earthen pot, made of clay. And padam means the the cloth made of the thread. Made of the thread. There are so many statements in the Upanishads using these two examples. They will take that up and start discussion on based on that. Padova tanduriya paraharadi kim khora shamanam. How will that solve the vrudha kandha kshobham? Simply they will strain their throat by discussing it like that. Vahasi tarasa tarka vajasa. And also they will develop the desire for argument. Argument and logic and reasoning. Yeah. But instead of that, Acharya Swami says, padam bhojam shambho, shambho bhaja parama saukhyam braja sudhi. Rather than that, I will sit at your lotus feet and remember your lotus feet and doing that. So he spoke like that and mentions that, and exactly the same thing happened after his time. After 200-300 years time, people lost interest in the proper way. Before getting qualified, they started giving up the process of knowledge in the proper way. Process of knowledge in the proper way. That is why mentions here that the Krishna. The same thing happened. You can see it happens in every process. Just like it happened to Jnana Margam, in that way, it happens in Bhakti Margam now. That's all. It has become more like a subject to study. Without that proper consciousness, if he comes to spiritual life, okay, everyone can take to bhakti process. There is no limitation, no restrictions on that. But even when you are in the bhakti process, you have to follow certain rules and regulations. There is no question. Proper sadhana, proper lifestyle, all this is necessary. So that is why, because it's not practical in the environment in the university, it is not advised to have it done in the university and schools and colleges. They are for different purpose. They have been created. So what has happened to Jnana Margam at that time, you can see now it happens to Bhakti Margam also. Very easily it happens. As soon as the great soul, personality who realized the truth, he disappears from this world, everything gone. Everything changes. Then comes a lot of modified different versions. Windows 5, Windows 6, Windows 7, upgrades comes. Upgrade starts coming. It is upgrades that's a problem in spiritual life. If you don't have an upgrade, it is better. When you get upgraded, then you have a problem. So this is the situations here. So here you can see that the samadhi state, what Devaki Devi experienced was Jnana's Kripa Samadhi. And that Kripa Samadhi is a necessity in spiritual life. Everyone requires that Kripa, Krishna's mercy also. So here, after saying that, Krishna mentions this about the problem of Maya, how Maya has controlled them, both of them, in that state. And eventually he says that that paramasaukhyam, that I will engage rather in Krishna service rather than studying Shastram in that way. So if one has given up attachment, sarvasanga parityagam, then if you do not get involved in that sannyasa ashram and come away and stay as a householder, and stay as a householder, the problem is that the mind is causing difficulty. So whatever you may do in this world, and if you struggle very hard to focus the mind on something, what does the mind do? What does the mind at that time do? According to your vasana, inside, it will go into different sense objects. That's what it does, isn't it? What does mind means? Mind means attachment, isn't it? Asakti. Remember that word, asakti. Maya asaktam anaparta yogam yunjan madashraya. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. That word asakti is in relationship with the mind. Asakti means attachment towards various material activities, material life, persons in this world, objects in this world. Attachment of the mind is called asakti. Krishna used that word asakti in the Bhagavad Gita because that's a word we will understand. Bhakti we won't understand. We won't understand bhakti if Krishna has spoken about bhakti. So therefore, Krishna has used a word that we will understand in the Bhagavad Gita. Maya asakta mana partha. Asakti is not a spiritual word. Asakti is a gross material word. How this has come in the Bhagavad Gita? In order to help us to understand the subtlety of that word, asakti is our attachment, gross attachment in us to different things, family, children, and money, property, and various things, kinds of sense objects in this world. That strong attachment inside, that's called asakti. So that asakti is inside us, and it is difficult to give up that asakti, even if you struggle very, very hard. So we have asakti towards mother, father, relatives, husband, wife, and many kinds of asakti. The process by which you give up all the asakti attachment inside is called the process of sannyasam. Sannyasam is that process. But the problem there is, it is easy to say to someone, give up everything. Give up everything. But the problem is, we have not gone and caught these things. they are called catching us. We are not catching them. If you have to leave it, suppose you are holding it, then you can leave it. But you are not holding it, they are holding you. That is the difference. They are holding you. How it happened? First you have gone and caught it. And then after that you are saying, I am not able to leave it, because then they start catching us. That's how this asakti develops in everything in this world. Everything in this world. Just example, that initially you bought the television, yeah? It was one example, television. Then that time you were in control. You bought the television, you decided, okay, I will only watch the television for 15 minutes or news or something like that. And then initially it was like that. You won't watch television very much, you just had a control over it. After some time, before you know, you go and take the remote control. You put her control on that. By now, the television is not catching you. You have gone and caught that first. Now television has caught you. You can't leave it. That state comes later. Isn't it? That state comes later. Told you this story before also. This all sense enjoyment is like that in this world. A man was standing near a river. Near a river he was standing. There's a few others also were standing there. Suddenly in the water from the upstream, there was a big blanket-like thing was flowing in the water. Flowing in the water. So one person thought, oh, it's a blanket that's coming. Let me go and get it, he said. He jumped into the water, swam all the way, caught hold of the blanket. Caught hold of the blanket. And he wanted to swim back, but he's not able to swim back. He was getting drowned. So everyone who was standing on the riverbank says to him, come back, he said. He says, I want to come back, but I can't leave this. It is not leaving me, he says. The blanket is not leaving me. Actually, it was not a blanket, it was a bear. The bear was holding him very tight. He went and held the bear, and bear held him very tightly. And he couldn't escape from that grip of the bear. So similarly, all sense gratification, sense objects, sense enjoyment in this world, first we will go and we'll give a taste of it. We'll experience a taste. And then we will slowly try to thinking that we have a control over it. Afterwards what happens? That particular sense enjoyment holds us. It gets hold of us and then we can't come out of it. This is what happens, isn't it? We can't come out of it. That is what happens to all kinds of sensual activities. So, if it is something outside the body, you can throw it away. But it is inside here. So, how will you leave that? Anything that is inside, how can you throw it away? Okay, if you say that I have thrown away everything and take it that you are renounced and go to the forest and say that I am a sannyasi, I am renounced everything. But after a while, it will come back again. It will come back again. What will you do at that time? So therefore, Krishna says, don't give up anything. That's the advice. Don't give up anything like that, in that way. You can see this in the modern world also, how sannyasa ashramam, because without sufficient that pakvada, maturity hasn't happened, and they have taken to sannyasam, but the desires have not gone away, so that desire will come out in different forms. In different forms. Remember this I mentioned before, a person has taken to sannyasa ashram and he had a desire to build a massive hotel, big hotel. He wanted to build in his previous life before sannyasa ashram. So somebody asked a spiritual master, what will happen to him if he takes sannyas? He says, nothing will change, he said. You'll take sannyasam and you will build a 5-star ashram, he said. That will be the result. So what has changed? Vasana has not gone from inside. You have given him this saffron, dhoti, danda, everything. But inside it is the same person. Nothing has gone. So that is the problem with this kind of thing. Without knowing oneself where his desires are, vasanas are there. That's why sometimes in sannyasa ashram when you see these things happening, it becomes a mockery of the sannyasam, isn't it? Attachment to various kinds of sense enjoyment is still there. Desires are there inside. Attachment to family life after taking sannyasam. Then sannyasi is going and taking children and patting them. You see this all the time. Sannyasi is like the householder. The sannyasi, they think, oh, I'm being nice to them. And Prabhupada got angry with one or two occasions like that when they started doing that. This is why don't you go back to householder life and live your householder life properly. What is sannyasam then? Sannyasam means all these attachments must go from inside. Attachment to family, attachment to wealth in the same way, desire for wealth, which is there in householder life. But if sannyasa ashram, the same desire comes by, I should have a few million dollars in my bank account, then I'm okay. My sannyasa ashram is fine. If that stage comes, what sannyasam is that? Similarly, all kinds of desires or followers, fame, and things like that, it is not proper. It is not proper. It is actually destroying that great ashram of sannyasam. Sannyasam is given. Krishna says, among all the ashram, I am sannyasam, he says. Why does he say like that? Because sannyasa ashram has that purity state of purity, jnanam sannyasa lakshanam, and self-realization, knowledge of the soul, jnanam, is there in sannyasa ashram. If it is not there, that sannyasam is a waste of time. That's why it says here, so Krishna says, don't give up anything, says to Vasudeva and Devaki, and Krishna spoke what is called Bhagavata Dharma to them. Bhagavata Dharmam to them. So that is why you see there in the 45th verse, that is that. Other, I'm not reading all the verses, I'm only touching the important ones which is become gone to so much time. So the main message Krishna gave to Vasudeva and Devaki was Yuvamam Putra Bhavena, verse 45. Yuvamam Putra Bhavena, Brahma Bhavena cha sakrat, chindayando okrita sneho. Yasyedhe madgadim param. Yuvamam putra bhavena. This is a very important verse in the Bhagavatam. Yuvamam putra bhavena, brahma bhavena cha sakrat, chindayando kridasneho, yasyedhe paramam gadim. This was the final instructions to Vasudeva and Devaki. Krishna gave before Kamsa's arrival. This was the instructions to Vasudeva and Devaki. That verse is very important. Yuvamam putra bhavena, brahma bhavena cha sakrat, chindayando kridasnehau, yasyedhe madgadim param. He says like that, isn't it? Madgadiya nyedhe, and you will come back to me. So you can see, Krishna is not saying everybody has to become a sannyasi to go back to Krishna. It's not spoken like that. But think about me, yuvamam putra bhavena. Always think about me as your son, as your son. Then, but if you think of me as your son, is it sufficient that if you think of me as your son, that is not sufficient. Everybody else does in this world. No, that's not allowed. Because if you do think of me only as your son, then what will happen? This asakti will come. Attachment will develop in your heart. Attachment will develop in your heart. So this is the same mistake you have done in the previous two lifetimes. That's what Krishna is reminding them. In the previous two lifetimes, when Krishna appeared as Vamanamurti and Prashnigarbha, in both those lives, the same mistake they have committed. Don't want to commit the same mistake in this third life also. That's why Krishna is saying, Yuvamam Putra Bhavena, that Putra Bhavam, as my child, that Putra Bhavam, that was very strong in the previous two lifetimes, and that is, that can stay in this life also. But Brahma Bhavena cha sakrat, Krishna says like that. Brahma Bhavena cha sakrat, Brahma Bhavam. Brahma Bhavam means seeing Krishna as Brahmam. Brahma means to see Krishna as the soul. Krishna as the soul, supreme soul, supreme soul. So, but if you think of Krishna as Brahmam, you won't know what Brahma means, how to think of Krishna as Brahmam, isn't it? So, if you think of Krishna as Brahmam, it is very difficult to have any relationship, bhava bandham, any bhavam, any kind of proper relationship also is very difficult. So therefore Krishna is saying here to Vasudeva and Devaki that when you think of me as your son, there will be some love for me, priyam. And that priyam comes from the soul. But now and then I will show you who I am, what Brahman means. Now and then I will remind you my true identity as Brahman. And that is all the pastimes. Different pastimes happen later, that now and then I will remind you what my real nature is, whether how I am Brahman. Brahman I am, isn't it? Krishna is saying that you love me as your son, Putra Bhavena, but Brahma Bhavam I will manifest now and then in front of you, so you won't forget me as Brahman. You won't forget me as Brahman. So you shouldn't think, you are thinking that when you start seeing my glories, what I am capable of, and my greatness in my pastimes, little by little you will see in me my supreme controller's position, Ishwaratvam. Ishwaratvam means that supreme personality's status. You will observe in me, I am not an ordinary child. You will start noticing that in me. So you can love me as your son, Putra Bhavena, but now and then this Brahma Bhavam will manifest in me. Brahma Bhavam means this position as the absolute truth, that supreme controller, supreme truth, that will manifest now and then in my pastimes. You can see that. And if you can mix these two things together, that means loving me as your son, at the same time combine that with this supreme controller status in my pastimes. If you can combine those two things both together, that is what it says here. Brahma bhavena cha sakratam. Brahma bhavena cha sakrit. So in that time what will happen? Asakrit, it says cha asakrit. Asakrit. Not once, many times I will show that to you. And at that time you will start thinking, Krishna is not an ordinary person. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. This thought will come to you. Normally you will love me as your son. But now and then, when you see this my activities, you will start thinking inside, it is not my son, it is Krishna. Krishna is the Absolute, is the Supreme Lord. This thought will also come to your mind. So, when that happens, in such a situation, what will happen? What will happen to you? Along with this love for the child, Priyam, when you combine this knowledge of Brahman along with that, it is not an ordinary love. It is not asakti anymore. It is samadhi state. It is a samadhi state. That means Krishna has taken Vasudeva and Devaki from a mundane relationship. They are saying to Vasudeva and Devaki, Krishna is saying to Vasudeva and Devaki that quite often you love me as normal, as a child, as your son. But simultaneously, with my different activities, you will start observing me. I am not an ordinary child. You will start seeing me as the Supreme Controller, Supreme Lord. And that will continuously bring up inside you some thoughts about the Brahman, Brahman realization. And this is the secret Krishna has given to us also. Krishna has given to us also. So, Brahman, that is not Priyam anymore. It is not just Priyam anymore. It is Samadhi. So this is the secret of all the self-realized souls. This is the secret of the self-realized souls. So if you, after self-realization also, they will have connection with this world, with everyone, like we all have. But it will not be based on the way we relate with people. We relate with people on a mundane level, isn't it? But jnanis, they will see the soul in everyone, which is Krishna, present in everyone, and their relationship is with the soul. They will show love and affection to everybody. Jnanis, great devotees, Mahatmas also. You will notice this one peculiar nature in them. Their friendship to everyone, love towards everybody. No enemies in this world. to everyone they will show their friendship and love, but inside they know they won't see us in our external coverage body and no priyam attachment on that level. Rather, seeing Krishna's presence inside us, they will show love and affection towards us, which is different, because when it happens like that, there will be no ragam, no dvesham inside. No ragam, dvesham will be there. So, not that, for example, in our world, we develop relationship based on what? Based on the community we were born, or country we were born, or language we speak, or family we come from. These are the criteria with which we relate with people in this world, isn't it? And you feel a natural attraction and affinity towards that person. Purely human beings' nature. I'm saying about human beings' nature. Human nature is like that. Just want to relate with each people, everyone, or if he's from my own country or my own village, I have a special connection with him. Or if he speaks the same language, connections with him. Same community, same caste, same this thing, same this. So many things. So there is a attachment there. There's an attachment in that way. But jnanis and devotees, they don't keep a relationship with anybody like that. They are completely different. They will have a relationship with everyone on a friendly level, but at the same time, that relationship is not because they have a body similar to them, but rather they are seeing the soul in everyone as Krishna's presence there, and that Brahma Bhavam they create. Not the Maitri Bhavam or Suhrut Bhavam, like the way we create in the material life. Our relationships are like that. Anywhere you can take it, it is like that. That friendship towards others, because we come from the same place or come from the same background or same community or some kind of relationship, family relationship or whatever it is, there is an attachment like that, isn't it? So that is what he is saying here. Seeing someone as a soul, jnanis can do that because they realize the truth. They know what the spirit soul is, isn't it? So therefore, because they relate like that, what happens? There is no attachment anywhere. There is no attachment anywhere. And not only that, they'll be friendly to everyone. They'll be friendly to everyone. And when they are like that, where is that priyam coming from that? There is a priyam that is coming from them still from inside. That all of them thinks what they see in this world is Brahman. They realize it like that. Then what happens? Considering your own children, putra bhavam or bhairya bhavam, wife, or bhartru bhavam, husband, everything is there, but at the same time, if you mix that with this Brahma bhavam, you will get rid of that distress that will come from that relationship. You see, for example, husband, wife, it's a big problem in this world, isn't it? Everywhere. That in that relationship, if it is purely based on the, oh, I am the husband and she is the wife, and purely on that level, if a relationship is kept in that level, then there will be problems. There's nothing you can do about it. There will be problems. That is what Krishna is teaching through this particular verse. Yuvamam putra bhavena brahma bhavena cha sakrat chindayando kridasnehau yasyede malgadim param. From this verse is trying to project this principle to us, to tell us that any relationship in family life, any relationship, husband, wife, children, so many relationships, in all these things, both should be present. You can love the child as your son or daughter, but it should not go purely on that level alone. It should be Brahma Bhavam should be there. Same thing with the husband or wife also. Putra Bhavena you can have, or Vairya Bhavena, Bhartra Bhavena, whatever necessary that can have. Combined with that, Brahma Bhavam is necessary. You are not actually loving that person based on the body. You are seeing that it is Krishna who is present in that form, in that body, and you should respect that and love that person in that way. If that is the case, then whatever happens, you can survive through that. Nothing will disturb your mind inside. Whereas if you wholeheartedly put all your love and affection to a person, throw it to her or him in a particular level like this, based on asakti and attachment, it will end up in distress later. Either that person may put you into distress or you may put that person into distress one day. It will happen. It's nothing you can do about it. This is why it is important. Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us, Krishna is not telling you throw away everything and run away. Krishna is telling us how you could live in this world peacefully. Yuvamam putra bhavena brahma bhavena chasakrat chindayando kridasnehau yasyede madgadim param. So, all, in other words, if you have to see the, this principle was very prominent in the society long ago. It's only now we have changed everything because we said that all this doesn't work. We created the solution to all the problems and we have failed everything there, isn't it? So that's why everywhere Brahma Bhava means you add bhakti into it. Bhakti into it. So even when the father or mother is looking after the child, they should be conscious of the fact that Krishna is present there in that child. In that way, if you relate with the child, there will be no distress. Whereas it's my child, if you keep on attached to the child and start looking after, there will be trouble. So the sages, they have created this program for everyone. They told us, see the husband as God. See the husband as God. And similarly, see the wife as a manifestation of Sri Parvati, Ambiga, her manifestation. And children as Krishna himself. That is how Krishna's childhood pastimes have come into prominence because of this. That to see the children as Krishna, when they perform different, when the children play at home, you have to take it that the children are like Krishna playing at home because they have no selfish interests or self. They are not adults, they are grown up. They are not grown up. So their life and activities you have to observe as though Krishna is playing through them. In that way, if a relationship is built with the children, that's good. That is good. Similarly, relationship with the husband also, in the Vedic times, they created this system. That see, and when all these things were written, Prabhupada also mentioned this, there was immediately big protests everywhere. Oh, husband is to be seen as God, but he is so useless, how can I see him as God? This is the immediate reaction from the women. Immediate reaction from the women is that he is so useless, he doesn't do anything. He is just wasting his time and you have to worship him like God. All kinds of misunderstanding has come because they could not understand where it's coming from, the principle behind it. If you had understood the principle and you have practiced it, it will work. It won't fail. There's a lot of advantages in that. Only if you, subtle level, if you think about it, you will see the benefits of that. No married life is going to be a smooth sail. It's always going to be problems from beginning to end. It's going to be there. But then, what has to be done? What has to be done? One solution, the modern solution is, him and her will... He goes his way, she goes her way. That is one solution. But that is not the solution. That is not the solution. We have to remember, Krishna has put us all in different situations in this world. It's not permanent. It's only a temporary situation. It may last 30 years, 40 years, I don't know how long it will last. After that, you'll have to go, she has to go, her way, his way. So in this short period of time, whenever there is a relationship, if we can use that relationship in the proper way and benefit from that on a spiritual life, then it is worthwhile. That is what Krishna is saying here, that in the Yoga Sutram, there is a verse mentioned there like that. So, if you make all relationships very divine, if you make it very divine, then you have given up the attachment to that. You are given up the attachment to that. So relationship, Krishna is saying don't give up the relationship, but change that into a divine state, divine relationship with everyone. So in other words, relationships have been given up. but it has become a divine nature. Divine nature. It is difficult in the beginning. It is difficult because of so many years you have fought each other and quarreled and fought, and that will be there inside. But somehow if we can create this thought inside that to see the husband as a manifestation of God, or to see the wife as a manifestation of Sri Parvati, Sharada or Ambiga, and see in that way a relationship like that is built up, then that hate side inside what has developed will go away. It will give way to inside. So that is why in abroad, that is the only way to give up this world. Only way to give up this world. That means all attachments and relationships in this world make it more divine. Make it more divine. Abaroksha Anubhuti, it says, how to give up this, how to give up this world, how to give up this world. That is why it mentions here, Tyaga Prabhanjarubaya Chidatmanavalo Ganan Tyago Himahadam Puja Sadhyo Mokshamayo Yadham Tyaga Prabhanjarubaya Chidatma Avalo Kanad. Tyaga Prabhanjarubaya, this Prabhanjam, material world and material relationships, all of them, by sacrificing that and seeing that Chidatman Avalokanad, seeing all of that in relationship with the Krishna, in relationship with Krishna. If you see like that, Tyagohi Mahadam Pujyam, that Tyagam has to be glorified. Sadhyo Mokshamayo Yatham, that it can turn into liberation. You see, in this human body, we also have these attachments and relationships, everything will be there. But while in that state also, how to purify that relationship, that is what Krishna is talking about here. So, once we realize that everything is Krishna Swarupam, Paramatma Vastu, that Vastu is not anymore Vastu in that way. Otherwise, if you simply see the body and see the relationship that way, it will cause problem. From then onwards, the woman is not woman anymore. Man is not man anymore. What is happening is also Brahmadattvam. Brahmadattvam, what Krishna is saying here. Yuvamam putra bhavena, brahma bhavena cha sakrat. That brahma bhavam must build up inside. Must build up inside. So, if it happens like that, Krishna says, while you are living in this body, you can be liberated. In this body, you can be liberated. And that is a experience of liberation. If you are like that in your relationship with others. Sadhyo mokshamayo vidu. So Krishna, this was the first lecture Krishna gave in this world. The first lecture Krishna gave in this world was this to the world. Isn't it? As soon as he is born, the first class he gave to Devaki and Vasudev. So that's why it's so important. So it is this relationship, this message, Yuvamam Putra Bhavena Brahma Bhavena Chasakrat. This is what is known as Vatsalya Bhakti. Vatsalya Bhakti. Vatsalya Bhakti. So Vatsalya Bhakti. And similarly, you can see this. If you add this Brahma Bhavam to any relationship, it becomes bhakti. If you add Brahma Bhavam to any relationship, it becomes bhakti. It becomes bhakti. If you add Brahma Bhavam, seeing Krishna's presence in every child, and develop a relationship with the child in that way, it is called Vatsalya Bhakti. If you develop a relationship, relationship with husband, a wife, develops a relationship, and add Krishna to that, then that becomes Madhurya Bhakti. That becomes Madhurya Bhakti. If you develop a servitude nature, as a servant, if you are operating, if you add Krishna to that, it becomes Dasya Bhakti. It becomes Dasya Bhakti. So, Dasya nature, servitude nature is in us. To add that, if you add Krishna Bhakti into that, it becomes Dasya Bhakti. So, in Dasya Bhavam, Dasya Bhakti, and what happens there, that you are realizing that to absolute truth, Paramatma Bhavam, if you develop a Bhritya Bhavam, that means if you develop a servitude nature towards the absolute truth, that bhakti becomes dasya bhakti. Every relationship is converted in that way. That's what is this mellows have come from, different mellows.
Shanta dasya sakhyam vatsalya madhuryam,
all that, it has become a mellow only when that relationship we all have in this world already, isn't it? We also have dasyam, sakhyam, vatsalyam, madhuryam, all relationships are there already in this world, in our mutual dealings. But if you add this Brahma Bhavam into it, then it becomes mellow. It becomes mellow. And then what will happen? You won't feel any attachment anywhere. You won't feel any aversion anywhere. In other words, what will happen is, if you have created that feeling towards others inside yourself, then even if other person offends you or other person has acted something in a wrong way, you won't get disturbed over it. You won't get disturbed over it. That is the benefit from that. Bhakti has developed inside. Household life is an opportunity for that. Krishna is saying that all this bhakti can be practiced in one's own life and in family relationships also. So that emotions is bhakti. Krishna mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Maya asakta mana partha. Krishna mentions there. That in other words, that asakti, that attachment, keep that in me. Asakti is bhakti. But what is the difference? Towards asakti, you have added some knowledge into it. You have mixed some knowledge into asakti. Attachment is there. Attachment is a blind thing. But you have added some knowledge into it, and that's all. Asakti, you do not take it away. Asakti, let it stay like that. But if you take it away, asakti from someone, it is not very scientific process. It will create other problems inside. Asakti will be there. Just like father, mother will have some attachment for the children. That is nature's arrangement is like that. It has to be created like that so that they will care for the children. They'll care for the children. For that reason, it's been created like that. And children also will have some, in a similar way, some connection with the parents also, to feel that shelter from them. All this is nature's arrangement. You can't fight against that. What Krishna is saying here is that add on to that, in that relationship, bring me into it. Bring me into it. And develop that Brahma Bhavam also in all the relationships. And asakti, you add bhakti into that. And asakti, when you add that knowledge in that asakti, that becomes bhakti. That becomes bhakti. Just like we have this touchstone, isn't it? Touchstone, there is a thing called touchstone. Chindamani, it's called. If it touches it, iron changes iron to gold. They say it's a thing like that. Similarly, this technique, it is called in Shastram as Anyuchigi Vidya. Anyuchigi Vidya, that is how it is called, or in Bhagavatam. Anyuchigi Vidya. Anyuchigi Vidya means every moment looking at everyone in this world with Brahma Bhavam. With Brahma Bhavam. Looking at everyone and seeing Krishna is present in that person. This is called Anyuchigi Vidya. It's a technique what the Jnanis have developed for others' benefit. So that we don't quarrel and fight in the family. Everyone lives peacefully. To give us that instruction, Krishna has spoken this. To Anvichigi Vidya, it is called. Anvichigi Vidya. And here, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see Prahlada also talks about that. Prahlada Ujivan, it says that it is Brahma Darshanam. Prahlada was also experiencing the same way. So, no attachment is given up anywhere. For example, if you are a granddad taking grandchild and keeping it on your lap, you should not think all the time, oh, it's my grandchild. Rather, one should think as Krishna is present in that child. If you add that thought to every relationship in this world, Krishna is saying you have added Brahma Bhavam. Krishna's, that is missing completely in our relationships in this world now, isn't it? The modern world, we don't have anywhere. He is my friend, he is my enemy, I'll shoot him, I'll kill him, or I will hug him or embrace him. All this is, this will not happen. If Brahma Bhavam is included, this will not happen. That looking at things with dvesham and ragam, that will go away. That is why Krishna is saying like that. Then, so Krishna says that husband has to be seen as Ishwara. You see, control. The word actually husband means he is the Ishwara. The Bhartra means one who has got the controller nature. He is Bharta. Bharta, Gadar Bharta, Prabhu Sakshi, Nivasa Sharanam Sukha, Krishna says. Bharta means one who is a controller. But who sees them as controller? We are all saying we are all equal. So what? Who can control then? Everybody is equal. Who will control whom? So that's the question. So anyway, what is the problem if we don't think like that? So they'll say like that. You say I have to see him like controller? How can I? Because the way he is acting in this house, how he is behaving, how can I do that? We'll say like that. But if husband is not acting in the way the wife is thinking about the husband, then immediately there is unhappiness inside and anger inside. But because of that, actually, husband is not affected by that. It's one who feels that within, they are affected by that. They are affected by that. Our own mind will lose the peace inside. We'll lose the peace inside. So therefore, we have to see what is the way to save ourselves in this state, in this situation. What's the way to save ourselves? So whatever he may do, right or wrong, still if you are able to develop this attitude towards the husband, that he is still the controller, if that relationship is created inside, then then that is the sampradayam that they have created. And this was the sampradayam, the system that existed in the past. However bad the husband is, still in the olden days, the wives will always say, he is God. He is God. Even if he is bad, they won't say anything. It's no way it is any inferior understanding. It is not any way any inferior understanding. The principle involved is this, that in, from that relationship between husband and wife, the wife does not want to disturb inside by finding fault with the husband or in any way seeing wrong things in the husband in any way. Because if we take that seriously, those things, mistakes in husband may not be up to the mark. Every wife will like to be a husband qualified in all ways, but may not be up to the mark. But still, if the relationship, if you maintain that relationship like that, what will happen is the peace will stay inside. Not only for that purpose, it will become divine, because you have added that Brahma Bhavam to that. Brahma Bhavam to that. Husband is also a spirit soul. Krishna is present there inside. With that way, if a relationship is created with the husband, the wife will be benefited. Equally, if the husband also thinks that in the form she is female form, but inside Krishna is present, or in other words, if you want from external side, if you see her as Radharani's manifestation or Shri Parvati's manifestation, if you see her and respect her, in that way if you deal with her, then there won't be any problems inside. There, what you have done again, you have added Brahma Bhavam to that. So that is why this verse is so important. It has been spoken and discussed so much, particularly for the householders. Yuvamam putra bhavenam brahma bhavena cha sakrid chindayando kridasneho yase de madgadim param. Krishna is saying this, that he is not saying you should take sannyasam and run away from here to the forest or become a big acharya or anything. Krishna says even in this life, whatever life you live, you have been put into that. Krishna has put all of us in different situations. Why do we have to go against that? It has happened in life. Why we have to go against that? That's the point. So whatever position one is put in, he says that therefore in the olden days divorce didn't happen in the society because of this. Divorce rate has gone up so much now, isn't it? All over the world, it is high. It is high. But you will be surprised that this thing didn't exist at all. At one time, it was an unknown thing to run away, to become divorced and go away from family life like that. It was an unknown thing. Why? Why is that? Because this bhavam, this mood was present in men as well as in the woman, as well as the husband and the wife. So therefore there was no problems. But now we have got new authorities and new values, and therefore we have got problems also. If one says one word, the other one will say two words, next thing is divorce after that. So this will happen. So, and both will go in two different directions. So our society has accepted this plan, this paddhati, in other words. So we are unable to live together and to live a life properly. Why? Because of this, the Veda Buddhi is increasing all the time. That's how it is happening. See this Veda Buddhi. Veda Buddhi is an important thing. Yeah. What is Veda Buddhi means? Veda Buddhi means that to think everyone is different. Husband, she is my wife, so she has her own agenda, she has her own plan. To think, I am husband, I have my own agenda, my own plan. The children, they have their own agenda, they have their own plan. How can you keep it together? It will not work together. Because each one of them are making their own plans in this world for their own happiness. They want to be on their own. They want to enjoy their own life. They don't want anybody to disturb that. If this philosophy takes root inside, then there can't be any proper, there is no Krishna consciousness also in that process, isn't it? Where is the Krishna consciousness there? Simply in the name of family life, a few people, couple of them get together, children are born, few years they live together, all go in all directions. There is no relationships anymore. Why is that? Because this Brahma Bhavam, what Krishna is saying here to Vasudeva and Devaki, that was not included in their life. Yuvamam putra bhavena brahma bhavena chasakrat. Chindayando kritasneho. Chindayando, keep this in the mind always. And kritasneho, you show your love to me. Krishna says to Vasudeva and Devaki, you have made this mistake in your previous lifetimes twice. This is the last one, at least in this lifetime, yuvamam putra bhavena brahma bhavena chasakrat. At least in this lifetime, don't make the same mistake again. That's what I'm saying. Otherwise, what will happen? This Veda Buddhi will increase. Veda Buddhi will develop. And then what will happen is, whatever happens in life, you won't be able to accept it. And when someone turns against us, then also you have to learn how to escape from that. How to escape from that? What is the way to escape from that? See, very intelligent people and very thoughtful people, what they will do is they won't give up everything. They won't give up anything in this world. They will continue to suffer and tolerate and live in this world. That is the way to deal with that situation. That's the way to deal with that situation. What they will do is, they know life is a misery. Family life is also a misery. They know that. Family life is a misery. But what will they do? They won't give up still family life. They'll continue to stay in that state and continue to tolerate it. That distress. Continue to tolerate that distress. If you talk about this to someone, generally people will say, do you expect me to put up with this whole life? This will be the first reaction from the husband or the wife. It doesn't matter. They'll say like this, isn't it? If you tell them, don't break up and live peacefully somehow, tolerate each other. If you don't like each other, go and sit in two different rooms and continue with your life in this world. Don't worry about it. After all, what is this so-called family life to give so much value to it? And so if you are a little bit cultured in that way, or if you have developed that understanding, you won't fight. You will just keep out each other. You do your things, I'll do my things. But let's not fight over it and keep it like that. And although it's miserable, that relationship, you'll tolerate that misery. Because by tolerating that misery, you are actually benefited. You're actually, on a long term, it is beneficial. So sometimes after getting married, the husband will say that, oh, I made a big mistake and I got the wrong wife, and the wife will also say the same thing. This always happens. So, and then keep that distress inside, unable to say anything about it. So, they won't divorce or anything, but they won't give up anything and go away. But staying within the family, they'll continue to tolerate that distress. Continue to tolerate that distress. And that technique, what they you have to use there in that situation, is what Krishna is saying in this verse. So this verse, if every husband and wife remembers, it will do a lot of good for them. Because yuvamam putra bhavena brahma bhavena chasakrat. I know it is very late in life, all these things now, but doesn't matter. Better late than never. Isn't it? So, who knows? Sometimes it might work. Sometimes it might work. Who knows? Yuvamam. That is the way, actually. That is the right solution, I'm saying. The right thing is this. What other solution we may find, that's another thing. That I don't know anything about it. But this is the right thing to do. That's all I can say. This is the right way to handle such situations. Yuvamam putra bhavena, brahma bhavena chasagra. Chindayendo kridasneho, yasyade madgatim param. Krishna's words are like that. Krishna says, don't create your own ideas about all these things. If we accept this, you see, bhakti is not all these show what we make in this world. That's nothing to do with bhakti. This you'll only understand if you study how bhakti has affected you in your own approach in life. Your qualities, what Krishna talks about a devotee. How much those qualities are in the subtle body, that is your development of bhakti. Not all what, how much how much money you have collected in this for Krishna, how many temples you have built, or how many tirthayatra or pilgrimage you have done, how many rounds you have chanted. This is all actually an indication of one's surrender to Krishna. Krishna has put every one of us, it is completely in Krishna's hands. He has put us in different situations. What can we do? According to our karma, our vasana, Krishna says, this is what you are qualified to have today, and that's what you are getting. And I've given you that. Now, accepting that, like in that mood, is surrender to Krishna. If you are not accepting that, and all the time if you are trying to adjust things and correct situations and all the time modifying and changing people and changing relationships, thinking that I'll be better off if I leave this wife and get another wife, leave that wife and get another wife. And this way people are trying to become, thinking they are the controllers of the situation. That is not surrender. That means they have not understood anything about bhakti. Those who have understood bhakti, what they will do, all situations, happy situation or unhappy situation, doesn't matter. This is where Krishna has put me, that's what I deserve, I got it. I don't have any complaint about that. This mood is bhakti. Bhakti is not all that. You may be going to temple every day. You may have distributed millions of books. But if this relationship in people with others, if it hasn't matured in this way, Krishna is saying that Krishna's instructions to Vasudeva and Devaki is that this particular relationship, you have made this mistake in two lifetimes, at least in the third lifetime, don't make that mistake. If the same relationship is built up in with relationship with everyone in this world, then you have escaped from the material world. It's finished for you. You are escaped from here. That is the secret behind it. We'll discuss it after 15 minutes. Yuvamam putra bhavenam brahma bhavena chasakrit chindayandau kridasnehau yasyede madgadim param says Krishna's instructions to Vasudeva and Devaki. So, this verse, what Krishna has spoken to Vasudeva and Devaki, is the important message to all the householders. All the householders. So here, important thing to realize is certain fundamental understanding in life, that Krishna has put us in different situations. Krishna has, and if you forcefully change your situation, forcefully, if you try to change the situation, not realizing it is that the prarabdham has come. Instead, when distress comes in life, just to accept that that is prarabdham. My prarabdham has come in this form. To think like that, if you give up and try to find a solution to that prarabdham in some other form, another problem will develop in four times different sizes of what you have already given up. The problem will develop in another form, and it could be sometimes four times intense than what it has intensity of what it was happening before. What it was happening before. So we have this thinking all this, I can skip this problem from my life if I do like this. Material nature won't allow you to do that. It will not allow you to skip things like that. It will not allow you to cut it and move away. If you try to do that, if you try to this side, it will be fry, what they say in English, jumping from frying pan to the fire. It will be like that. So what is the solution then? So whatever it may be, whatever difficult times in life it is, whatever difficult is it may be, it's always good to remember that prarabdha karma has put us into that situation. It is prarabdham, nothing else. That some prarabdham is there to settle the account they had come as husband or wife in life. That's all it is. And to think that I'll escape from my prarabdham, that will be the biggest blunder. Greatest blunder. At that time, if you remember this Krishna's message, this is the way to handle the prarabdham. What Krishna is saying here. That it may not be possible in 1 second to change that. That's why Krishna is saying, Chindayando Kridasneho. He says, Chindayando Kridasneho. Make this as a meditation in your dealings with the rest of the world all the time. That every relationship, if you mix Krishna to that relationship, it's not possible to see as Krishna as present alone in every life. That is another thing. Don't misunderstand this with that. When after self-realization, when you start Krishna's presence in every living entity, is another thing. That is a different one. Here what's happening is that you are seeing and your attachment is there to other living entities in this world, like husband to wife, wife to husband, and to the children, children to his parents, uncle, aunts, all different relationships. That's all there. But to that we have to add that in these relationships also, that Krishna is present in that person. That much if we take on board, then you can escape from the distress. If you just take that principle, that Krishna is present in that person. Krishna has only this one thing to tell us. All relationship must end one day in this world. All relationships must end one day. But when you end that relationship, let that relationship not create any problems inside us. In order that not to happen, Krishna is saying to us, Ragadvesham should not develop inside. Praname dandavad bhumau ashva chandala ghogharam. He said to Uddhava at the last minute, isn't it? If you see that you are having any inimical feelings towards anyone, anybody, it doesn't matter who it is. If you think that that person is getting inside you, then best thing for you to do is as soon as you see him, pay your obeisances to him. Thinking that Krishna is present in that person. The same principle. Praying principle. Praname dandavat pranam you offer to that person. Otherwise relationships will become sometimes so bitter. Relationships can become so bitter. And even at the time of death it will haunt you at the time. So, I have not forgotten what, like Bhima and Duryodhana at that stage, you remember? And after the Mahabharata war, Bhima is saying to Balaram, how can I forget all what Duryodhana has done to me? He says. And Duryodhana from the other side is saying exactly the same thing. Balaram says, it's useless talking to either of you. Wash the hands. And Balaram left at the end. This one. So if that not to happen, such a situation, Krishna is saying, if you have, in the ragadvesham will come in this world. While dealing in vyavaharam, it will happen. But that ragadvesham not to grow further, this is the solution to that problem. That chindayendo kritasneho. This particular one, chindayendo kritasneho yasyede malpadim bharam, particularly apply to family, within the family. The other instruction, praname dandavad bhumau ashva chandala ghokharam, is after leaving the family and wandering in this world, still you are looking inwards and seeing, is there any more dirt inside me? Still I have any ill feeling towards anyone. Because only when everything is clear, Krishna will give you the entry ticket to come back to the spiritual world. After settling all the accounts here, Whereas here you have walked over everybody, given all troubles and pain to everyone. And then you come to Krishna. Krishna, why have you not taken back to the spiritual world? Krishna says, you have not sorted your problems here first. So this is where it begins. So spiritual, as I said, that Krishna has given us one life and we don't know what to do with this life. And then we are talking about the next life, planning for the next life. It's the most funny thing. So, Chindayando Kridasnehao Yasyadeya Malgadim Param. Krishna is saying that this Chinda, make it as a meditation insight. If you do that, whomever is giving trouble, or whoever is creating trouble for you, or if you are feeling hate towards anyone, get hold of them first and do this upasana towards them. Towards this upasana, this sadhana, first you practice with them. Whoever is giving you the greatest problem in life, because everybody has got someone, isn't it? Some people have got quite a few. And some people have got only one or two people. I don't know. Everyone is different. But in that relationship also, there will be someone who is your very bitter one, with whom you have to deal with all the time. Normally, husband and wife, it is. That's where this greatest problem is, in that relationship. And that is where you should apply it first and see how it changes. It might work, you never know, because Krishna's words it is, it has to be true, it can't be wrong. So if you develop this bhavam, this mood from the beginning, that chindayando kridasnehao, that husband is right, wife is also right, in their role they have to play that role, husband and wife. But that does not mean that there is no Krishna consciousness in that relationship. That adding that Krishna's identity to that relationship is what Krishna is talking about here. Same thing with children also. Parents complain, children are not listening. Children are saying parents are useless. If everybody starts complaining like this, what is going to happen? Then afterwards, the father says, I don't want to see you anymore. The son says, I had enough of you. What have you done? He says. So if it all goes like this, there will be criticism in the family life. It will all happen. As time advances, it will get worse. And children will walk away from home. They don't want, they know relationship. There are so many children living like that, without any relationship with the parents. And parents also says that they have gone their way. They complain about that. So why is all this happening? Because all the relationships were built up in the wrong way. If this attachment, asakti, goes away, but in the sense that minimize the asakti, add this knowledge into it, mix that asakti with jnanam, and then what will happen? Then that relationship is bhakti. It is then. This is why householder life is glorified for this reason. Because you get an opportunity to develop bhakti at home. And it is that bhakti, mutually what we have, turns towards Krishna at the end. And that becomes the proper bhakti in its perfection. That's all it is. Bhakti is not an entity like karmam or jnanam, something you can study from books. It has to be practiced in life. It's not bhakti you can't study from books. Jnanam, yes, you can study from the books. Shastram will explain all angles of the knowledge of the soul. It will explain that. But bhakti you can't explain like that. Bhakti can only tell you the different processes. But the principles of bhakti is like this. In the Bhagavad Gita, if you study the 12th chapter, Krishna talks about a devotee. You know what it means? What he says? Adveshta sarva bhudanam maitra karuna evaja nirmamo nirahangara sukadukha samakshami sandushta sadadam yogi yadalma adrida nishchaya mayarpidamano buddhir yomad bhakta samipriyaha yasmano dujade logo logano dujade chaya harsha marshamayo dhuagir muktoya sajame priyaha. Krishna says, this is where the problem. We say we love Krishna. And we have certain of, everybody loves Krishna. But does Krishna loves us? That is what you have to ask the question. And that chapter, 12th chapter, is saying, whom do I love? Whom Krishna loves? That is Krishna. In other words, whom Krishna recognizes as devotees. Such people who have these qualities, Krishna says, I will recognize them as devotee. They are my devotees. What is that? Adveshta sarva bhudanam ಮೈತ್ರಕರುಣಯೇವಚ ನುರ್ಮಮೋ 12 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 12 ವರ್ಸ್ 12 ಅದ್ವೇಷ್ಟ ಸರ್ವಭೂತಾನಾಂ ಮೈತ್ರಕರುಣಯೇವಚ ನುರ್ಮಮೋ ನಿರಹಂಗಾರ ಸುಖ ದುಃಖ ಸಮಕ್ಷಮಿ ಸಂತುಷ್ಟ ಸತತಂ ಯೋಗಿ ಯದಾತ್ಮಾ ದೃಢ ನಿಶ್ಚಯ ಮೈ ಅರ್ಪಿತ ಮನೋ ಬುದ್ಧಿ ಯೋ ಮದ್ಭಕ್ತ ಸಮೇ ಪ್ರಿಯಾಹ ದರ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ವರ್ಸಸ್ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಅದರ್ ಹೋಲ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ಡೆಫಿನಿಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಈಸ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಥಿಯರಿಟಿಕಲಿ ಬಟ್ ಇನ್ ರಿಯಲ್ ಲೈಫ್ If it happens, then you can say, you don't need any certification from anywhere else, you are a devotee. Krishna has given you the certification. That's the point. If these quality, Advaishta Sarvabhudanam onwards, those verses, 12 onwards, all that verses if you read from then on, it is bhakti. That is bhakti. So that bhakti Krishna is saying here, Yuvamam Putra Bhavena, start with the family life. Family, there are children are there. Grandparents are there, parents are there, uncles, aunts, so many relationships are there. In all those relationships, if one can try, some relationships are very closer, isn't it? Husband and wife, parents and children, that's a closer relationship than compared to uncles, aunts and granddads and all that. So, in this close relationship, develops the greatest bitterness also. Also in this close relationships, it develops. If something goes wrong, it can become very bitter, that relationships, isn't it? So that is why it is there, you have to try this out, this principle. Yuvamam putra bhavena, brahma bhavena chasakrat. Husband should be seen as the controller by the wife, and wife should, and seen as Krishna's present in this world. And the wife should, and the husband should see the wife. Wife should see the husband as Krishna's manifestation in this world. And wife, husband should see the wife as Radharani's manifestation in this world. Or in other words, Srivarvati's manifestation in this world. Whichever way, Ambiga or Sharada, whichever way you see it, it doesn't matter. But that divinity, adding that divinity into it, will change the whole scenario a lot. Will change the whole, that fighting spirit will go from inside. It won't happen immediately. But it should become a meditation. That is why it says. So whoever creates you the greatest trouble or greatest bitterness, try this towards them. Towards them. Get hold of them and try this with them. And if you do that, what will happen? That negative vibration what we have over them, we have to get rid of first by doing this way. The negative experience or negative feeling towards them. Only then there will be peace inside. So to whomever we feel the extreme hate, that personality, that think about that as Krishna's manifestations and start seeing that that this emotional relationship with them in that way, it should be broken. That in the sense that this hate or negative feelings, whatever that vibrations or feelings what we have created, it should be taken out first. Should be taken out. So that is why Krishna says here, Brahma Bhavena, Putra Bhavena. Brahma Bhavena, Patni Bhavena, both. Wife, she is my wife, but at the same time, there is also the manifestation of Shivarvadi in that person. Brahma Bhavena, Patni Bhavena. Brahma Bhavena, Bhartra Bhavena. She is my husband, there is also Krishna present inside. Brahma Bhava means basically, Brahmam is the word used here. Brahmabhavam basically means that the divinity, presence of Krishna in that person. That's what Brahmabhavam means. So, Brahmabhavena, Bhartabhavena. Somehow or the other, Brahmabhavam means what? Brahmam means not just thinking as the word Brahmam, Brahmam, Brahmam. But if that person is not creating any more emotions inside us, then our relationship is Brahmabhavam. Suppose, in that relationship between husband and wife, if he is not creating any more shock waves inside, any more waves inside, disturbances inside the mind, then that relationship is Brahma Bhavam. That relationship is Brahma Bhavam. So, Brahma Bhavam. So, in other words, if our mind is not getting disturbed and developing hate or envy or anger, if it is not going in any such directions, it is called Brahma Bhavam. So, Krishna says here that think of me as your son and you can love me in that way, but add this Brahma Bhavam to that. So that means that you can have, Krishna says to Dasadeva and Devaki, you can think of me, all kinds of thoughts, emotions, and all of those things. But in the same way, this will develop in different forms in the parents. In parents, how it develops is that this attachment, if there is no Brahma Bhavam, if there is no Brahma Bhavam, what will happen is that there will be all kinds of thoughts about the children. What will happen to the children tomorrow if I don't look after them? Will they be properly settled down in life? Will they live their life properly? Continuously suffering because of that. Their distress and their prarabdham will become your prarabdham. Then, their prarabdham will become your prarabdham. And even you will start thinking, if they don't get settled down in life properly, if they don't live properly, will I have the responsibility to look after them even? Even such a way, parents could start thinking. Sometimes it can happen. Giving up all these kinds of thoughts is Brahma Bhav. That is the important point. This continuously thinking about family and children and thinking about their future and concerning anxiety about it and developing asakti and getting worse day by day is not Brahma Bhavam. This is important. Brahma Bhavam is that giving up all these kinds of anxiety, seeing every person as they are, every individual who comes to this world, he has his own prarabdham to go through. You can't change that. That is that person who has to go through that. You're not been sent here to alter others' prarabdham. You just happen that you happen to be your father or mother, whatever it may be. It does not matter. That is finished with that. It's not your headache to worry about it, that what will happen in the future, what will happen to the child, if he gets married, what will happen, if the marriage doesn't work out, what will happen. Constantly this anxiety, there will be endless. That is his prarabdham or her prarabdham. You can't do anything about it. But you will always see parents in this situation, continuously lamenting and hankering about these things, and that is not Brahma Bhavam. Why? We didn't create that Brahma Bhavam in us. That is why this problem. Brahma Bhavena cha sakrit. Krishna is saying, make this as a meditation in your chinda yando kridasnehaum. With chinda, with these thoughts inside, you can show your attachment or you can show your love for other living entity with this understanding inside. Krishna says, otherwise, what will happen? Whole householder life will become simply a misery. And at one point, Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, you will notice that, aho me, he's feeling, aho, he says, amazing, he says, that this householder who has caught up like this in his householder life, and bharya bala majal majam, that who will look after my wife, who will look after my children, who will look after my grandchildren, he is worrying this whole day and night, all these things, and he dies and goes away from this world. And Krishna says, how sorrowful state that is. He lived a householder life for what? Just to worry like this. That is what this is talking about. So here you can see that that Brahma Bhavam, if it is cultivated, this asakti or attachment will slowly become a little loosen up. It will loosen up. So in this way, keep all relationships in this world. You should show you are and deal with everyone with love and affection. And you have to work in the way properly also. What you have to do, you have to do. But not allow that to get inside. Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma principle is like that. You can live in this world like the boat is lying in the water. If the water gets into the boat, boat will sink. Similarly, if you live in this world and if you allow the world to get inside, we will be sunk. Will be sunk. We should not allow that to happen. That is the principle of Bhagavata Dharma. Krishna is not saying you have to take sannyasam. You can stay in householder life, but keep this inside, this thought, all the time. Yuvamam putra bhavena brahma bhavena cha sakrat chindayando kridasneho yasemi madgadim param. So, yasyade madgadim param. If you live like that, Krishna says, you can come back to me. There were many, many, many great devotees who lived a householder life, but they lived like this. They went back to Krishna. Tukaram didn't take sannyasam, did he? Till the last minute, his wife served Tukaram. So who is great? Tukaram is great or the modern sannyasi is great? Tukaram went back to Krishna. There is no question about that, isn't it? Many of them, all these made great devotees, Ekanath, Namdev, many of them were householders. But they understood Bhagavadam and they brought that into their life and that was their success. And that's our failure. So you can see that. That sannyasam and all, we misunderstand things. We start thinking that this for, if you take become a strong brahmachari or a strong sannyasi, then due to their false ego inside, they're thinking so proud about that sannyasam and then expecting all kinds of respect in this world and also all kinds of facilities in this world. In this way, that is not sannyasa ashram. Sannyasa ashram is different than all that. So similarly, householder life also, Krishna has not any time criticized householder life. Even to Vasudeva and Devaki, that's what he said, like this, Chindayendo Kritasneho. So, after saying this, what one should get after that, saying that you can see, suddenly Krishna changed the form. You can see that in the next few verses, what happened after that, after instructing Vasudeva and Devaki on that. It says here, Shri Shuka Uvacham Ittikta Sildhari Stushnim Bhagavan Alpamaya Pitro Sambashyade Sadhyo Bhabhuva Pragrida Shishum Ittikta Sildhari Stushnim Bhagavan Alpamaya Pitro Sambashyado Sadhyo Bhabhuva Pragrida Shishum. After saying this, Krishna kept quiet. And while Vasudeva and Devaki was looking at Krishna, suddenly Krishna became a baby. Baby form Krishna took. And Tadascha Shaurir Bhagavad Prajodida Sudam Samadaya Sasudiga Grihad Yada Bahirgandumiyeshatar Hyaja Ya Yogamaya Janinandaja Yayam Tadascha Shaurir Bhagavad Prajodida Sudam Samadaya Sasudiga Grihad Yada Bahirgandumi Yeshatarhyaja Ya Yogamaya Janinandaja Yayam Taya Ahada Prataya Sarva Vratesho Dashat Dvasteshu Pavresho Vishayide Shadha Dwarastu Sarva Bhida Duratyaya Burhat Kavadaya Sakira Shankhalehi Ta Krishna Vahe Vasudeva Vagade Swayam Vivartyandaya Dhatamo Revim Vavarsha Parjanya Vubam Shugarjidaha Shesho Nyugari Nivarayan Faneihi. Now what is happening? What is spoken there is what has happened after this. Krishna has changed into that form of a little baby. And then after that, Vabhuva Prakrita Shishu. Just like an ordinary baby, Krishna has become like that. Conchal disc, lotus flower, all of that thing is gone. And Tadascha Shauri Bhagavad Prajodida. At that time, Bhagavad Prajodida. Krishna didn't say to Vasudev, but a thought developed in Vasudev's mind. What was that? What is that thought? To take this baby to Gokulam. Take the baby to Gokulam. Tadascha Shauri Bhagavad Prajodida. Bhagavad Prajodida. Prompted by Krishna from within, it has happened. And Sudam Samadaya Sasudiga Grihad. He was told you go to Gokulam and there a baby is born in Nandamaraj's home. Take me there and leave me there. And bring that baby back here and leave that with her. Leave that baby with Devaki Devi. So he took the baby in the hand, Krishna in the hand, and Vasudev is leaving. When Vasudev took the baby by Krishna's arrangement, the Vasudev and Devaki were chained at that time. The chain automatically released. Chains released. And then this heavy door the metallic doors, what comes as installed. And those doors automatically opened. The doors opened. And these two men, heavy characters, were standing outside with the spear in the hand, which Kamsa has appointed. They were standing there and they were sleeping. They were sleeping. Some people can do like that. They can stand and sleep. Particularly you will see in Mumbai when you go in the electric train. Lot of people will be standing like this and they'll be sleeping also. Many people you will see. They won't fall anywhere because everywhere there's people around. There's no chance of falling anywhere. So from there you can understand that you can sleep while standing. It's possible. You get that experience there. So here you will see there that Krishna is coming to come out, Vasudev, without any further. Tatascha Shauri Bhagavad Prajodita. Krishna is prompted from within. Sudam Samadaya Sa Sutiga Grihad. Sutiga Griha means that delivery room where Yashoda Devi has delivered the baby. Delivered the baby. So he's going there and probably Krishna is saying Krishna is born at 12 o'clock in the middle of the night. This must be in the same time, more or less same time, without much delay, Yogamaya also took birth. Yogamaya also took birth there. So, and he was going there, Yogamaya appeared, and when she started traveling, Yogamaya Ajani Nandajayaya, it says there, Ya Yogamaya Ajani Nandajayaya, Ya Yogamaya Ajani Nandajayaya, it says. Yashoda, that Yogamaya was born, isn't it? Yogamaya Ajani Nandajayaya. So, what is the result of her birth? The result of her birth is what is mentioned there. Yada Bihirgandumi Eshatarhyaja, Ya Yogamaya Ajani Nandajayaya. That Nandajaya, when she was born, what did she do? As soon as she was born, she spread her potency all over. She spread her potency all over. What was that? Put everyone to sleep. Put everybody into sleep. That is why she is like, when she puts us into sleep, she puts us also into sleep every day, isn't it? Ya Devi Sarvarubeshu Nidrarubena Samstida Namastase 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 Namo Nama. Our humble obeisances to her. What does she do to us? Ya Devi Sarvabhudeshu, all living entities, at some point in time when she decides, she says to us, you sleep now, we have no choice. You can't stand against that, can you? Immediately you have to go to sleep. Nidrarubena Samstida, she is present in us in the form of sleep. It is she, material nature's control on us is so powerful, Maya Devi. Maya does that to us. When we feel hungry, the devotee said, Shudharubena Samstida, you come inside me in the form of hunger. When you feel sleepy, you say to her, you have come to me now in the form of sleep. We have to pay our respect, obeisances to her. Obeisances to her. So, similarly, when she was born here, what happened? Immediately, as soon as she started yawning, she yawned once. When she yawned, everybody fell asleep. The result was that everybody fell asleep. And immediately there was plenty of rain and thunder, all that things. And when this was all happening, everyone is sleeping very well. And even those who were guarding the prison, they were sleeping. What to talk about one person who has not slept for a very, very long time, he also fell asleep. Kamsa hasn't slept for a long time. He couldn't sleep because of the fear of Krishna. But that particular night, Kamsa had the best sleep of all his life. That is the conclusion then. Ya Yogamaya Ajani Nandajayaya. Yogamaya's power. She can put the whole world into sleep if she wants. We can't do anything about it. If she says to all of us, you sleep, we have to sleep. We have no choice there. Isn't it? That's her power. Ya Yogamaya Ajani Nandajayaya. So after that, what happened? Kamsa also slept. Everybody slept. And 49, if you look. Ta Krishna vahe vasudeva magade swayam vivarthandayatha tamo rave vavarsha parjanyam upam shugarjida Sheshonyadagari Nivarayan Fanaihi. That the rain, it's heavily raining, and the thunder and the clouds are there everywhere, and the rains are very, very heavy. Very, very heavy. That time, Vasudeva is carrying Krishna on his head, and he was, some devotees say Krishna was carrying in the chest, some people say on the head, whatever it is, Vasudeva was carrying Krishna. When they got to the Yamuna river, Yamuna Devi was flowing full. Kamsa didn't even think, Yamuna river is full, how can I cross? How can I cross it? These thoughts never happened to Vasudeva, sorry. Vasudeva didn't even think about it. Vasudeva started walking through the Yamuna river. And there was water coming up in the Yamuna river. And Vasudeva was holding Krishna to his chest like a baby. And when Yamuna river came up and touched Krishna's feet, that's what Yamuna Devi wanted. After touching Krishna's feet, Yamuna Devi withdrew. And from then on, gave an easy passage to Krishna to cross. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, while talking about this, Sudeva Goswami says, the way how Ramchandra wanted to cross the sea, how the ocean allowed Ramchandra to cross. Margam dadhau sindhuriva shriyapade. Margam dadhau sindhuriva shriyapade. How Ramchandra was allowed to cross the sea to go to Lanka. In a similar way, how she allowed Ramchandra to cross Sindhu river. Sindhu means Sindhu, the ocean. How allowed Ramchandra to go. Similarly, Kalindi river allowed Vasudeva to carry Krishna to the opposite side. Kalindi allowed her to opposite side. So it says that Sheshonyagadvara Nivarayan Fanai. It was at that time, all the way when Vasudeva started the journey, it was raining. Vasudeva didn't think about anything. He came out with the baby in the hand. When he looked outside, he felt the rain is not right there when he was there, but a few yards further. It was raining, he thought. And he kept going, but he always saw that the rain was further away from him. How did this happen? Balaram thought that Krishna is going and it's raining heavily. Balaram came and showed his five hoods on top of Krishna and protected him. That is what it's mentioned there. Shesho anyagadvari nivarayan fanaihi. Balaram protected Krishna all the way to Vasudeva and Krishna was protected by Balaram all the way right up to Gokulam, where Yashoda Devi was present there. So Balaram was holding that five-headed hood in on top of him. So here you can see here. Ta Krishna Vahe Vasudeva Magade Swayam Vartanda Yatha Tamo Reve Vavarsha Parjanyamupam Shugarjita Sheshonyugadvari Nivarayan Fanehi. So Yamuna river was flooded. Yamuna was very flooded. And even now there is a difference between Ganga and Yamuna. There's a difference between Ganga and Yamuna. Ganga more or less flows in a peaceful way, whereas Yamuna is always in a happy mood. That is a very, this we won't know it because we see the gross things, isn't it? But acharyas have seen the nature of Yamuna and Ganga. Those who have seen Yamuna and Ganga, by nature they are different. Ganga's nature is very peacefully she flows. Although she is big and wide and long, she flows peacefully. But Yamuna's nature is she is always in a jolly mood compared to Ganga. So when they started crossing Yamuna, right up to the neck, the water has come. And whatever happens, not to bother. That was the instruction for Vasudeva from Krishna. So Vasudeva didn't bother. Whatever it may be, he decided not to care and continued the journey. So Yamuna river came and touched Krishna's lotus feet. And at that time, when they touched the lotus feet, Yamuna river immediately, Yamuna became black color. That's how Yamuna became black. You know Yamuna's color is black. That blackish color of Yamuna has come from by touching Krishna's lotus feet. Because Krishna is black. So that black color has spread to Yamuna also. Yamuna also got that. Just like sometimes charcoal, if you put it in the water, it becomes black color. In the same way, by touching Krishna, Yamuna became blackish color. Yamuna became blackish color. This is how the Acharyas describes about that. That the presence of Yamuna, Yamuna's reason for becoming black, what they say is this. That because she touched Krishna. She touched Krishna. And Yamuna has shown a lot of understanding that to help Vasudev to cross the river. Helped Vasudev to cross the river without causing any problems to Vasudev. And because Yamuna showed this understanding and courtesy to Krishna, Krishna decided that Yamuna should also be a participant in all my pastimes later. And that is the reason most of the childhood pastimes have happened, Vrindavanam pastimes, are all in the near Yamuna River. Isn't it? Yamuna River is a part and parcel of Krishna's childhood pastimes. So, in this, prayers to Yamuna. Yamuna Devi's famous prayers are there. Yamunashtakam. It is mentioned Yamunashtakam. 8 verses glorifying Ganga River, that is Gangashtakam, and 8 verses glorifying Yamuna River, Yamunashtakam. If you read those two prayers, you will see the difference. Even the prayers are written in that way. The prayers glorifying Yamuna River is very smooth. Whereas the prayers refer to, Ganga River is very peaceful and smooth way it flows. The flow of the language is like that, Ganga River. The prayers addressing Yamuna Devi is all like a dance. It's like a dance because she flows like that, like a dancing person. She dances all the way. We'll see one or two verses about Ganga Devi, the prayers on Yamuna River. He says like that.
മുരാരികായ കാലില കാലിമാല ലാമദാരി ധാരിണി തൃണീകൃത ത്രിവിഷ്ടവാ ത്രിലോകശോകഹാരിണി മനോനുകൂലകൂല കുഞ്ചപുഞ്ചദൂത ദുർമദ ധുനോധുനോ മനോമലം കലിന്ദനന്ദിനി സദാഹം കലാപഹാരി വാരി ഭൂരി ഭൂരി മണ്ഡിതാമൃത വൃഷം പ്രവാതക പ്രപഞ്ചനാദി പണ്ഡിതാ നിശ സുനന്ദനന്ദിനാംഗ സങ്കരാകരഞ്ചിതാഹിത ധുനോധുനോ മനോമലം കലിന്ദനന്ദിനി സദാഹം. Kalindanandini, Kalindi. Kalindi is Kalindanandini. So all that 8 verses glorifying Yamuna is like a dance. Each word, if you look at it, Urarikaya Kalimala Lama Vari Dharini is like a dancing tune. Tuni Trinigrda Trivishtava Triloga Shoga Harini Manonu Gula Gula Kunja Punjadu Dadurmada Dunotunu Manomalam Kalindanandini Sadam. Then Jalachudangaragalambadali Shalini Vilolaradhika Gajanda Kambaga Chambagali Malini Sadavagahanavadirna Bartra Bratyanarada Dunodunomanomalam Kalindanandini Sadam.
Then how she got that blackened color? Oh, how Yamuna River got after touching Krishna. So here you can see that Yamuna River gave way to her. And as soon as she touched Murari Krishna, she turned into black. And not only that, because Yamuna River, Krishna has decided to come and play in Yamuna River later on, and therefore she has actually even become a matter of envy for those who were in the spirit, in the heavenly planets also. So all devotees, they come and bathe in Ganga, in Yamuna River, isn't it? Bhartra Bhartya Narada. That means all great devotees of Krishna, they come and bathe in Yamuna River. So after crossing that Yamuna River, they arrived in Nandavrajam, Nandamaraj's home. And when they went there, Krishna, Vasudev went there. When Vasudev got there, it was difficult. Those days there was no street lights or house numbers and all marked properly. They lived very simple. But how did Vasudev know that which is the house to go? Complete darkness it is, isn't it? And devotees give the explanation like this. Then when Vasudev got there with Krishna in the hand, suddenly Vasudev heard the sound of a newborn baby crying from a house. And it was by hearing the sound itself, Vasudev could make out it was a baby girl. In the olden days, people could say, by hearing the crying of a newborn baby, they could say it's a boy or a girl. They could say it's a boy or a girl. So Vasudev walked into the house straight. When he walked inside, what was happening there was, Nanda Maharaj knew that Yashoda Devi is going to have the baby. So to Nanda Maharaj's system, that cowherd men and cowherd boys and girls, they were all assisting Yashoda Devi. So Nanda Maharaj was assisted by the cowherd men, and gopis were assisting Yashoda Devi in her delivery room where delivery was happening. So when Yashoda Devi was having the baby, Nanda Maharaj knew that it was quite late in the night and they were tired, whole day they were busy and they were tired. So Nanda Maharaj was standing outside with other cowherd men who were his friends, who were, Nanda Maharaj was the local king of the chief of the cowherd men there. So there were a few cowherd men with Nanda Maharaj to help. They were waiting outside the house. And they also fell asleep. So Vasudev walked in, they're all standing and sleeping there. Nanda Maharaj is sleeping, all the cowherd men, few of them who were present there, they were also sleeping. So it didn't cause any problem. Vasudev could straight away walk into Yashoda Devi's room and all the gopis were sleeping. Yashoda Devi also was sleeping and the baby was crying and nobody was waking up. Ya yoga maya jani nanda jayaya. Because this baby who is born there, she can put everybody to sleep. That's what she has done. Including her mother, including father, and including all the cowherd men, they were all sleeping. That is why that word is important in the verse 47. Ya yoga maya ajani nandajayaya. Yoga maya ajani nandajayaya. Ajani, she has no birth. She is in control of this whole fort, isn't it? Material world is her control place. She is in control here. Ya yoga maya ajani nandajayaya. Nandajayaya. She has come as Nanda Maharaj's daughter now. She has come as Nanda Maharaj's daughter. So anyway, this has happened and ultimately she has put everybody to sleep, and Vasudev left Krishna there, took her in his hands, and Vasudev started walking back. Normally it is a big crime what Vasudev has done, isn't it? That if you exchange the children in the hospital, there will be big uproar in the hospital. Isn't it? There's a big uproar. But nothing happened there. Why? She has put, Ya yoga maya jani nandajayaya. Nobody knew who is born, who is coming, who is going. No one was aware of anything. She put everybody into sleep. So he came back and all the doors were open and their houses were not very sophisticated houses that they had built. Very simple houses, housing. That was the system then. So, they started then, they didn't have doors or anything them days. They started putting doors to the houses only after Krishna's appearance. Prior to that, there were no doors in the house. It is due to Krishna's presence that they had to put doors to the houses. Otherwise, because that is how our great personality started life, isn't it? Thieving, that is the first occupation, is taken. So anyway, so as soon as Krishna came back, Vasudev came back with the baby and got into the prison. The doors were closed and all the chains were put back where it was. Before Vasudev knew, he was under the chain. And this, what is it saying like this? Why is it spoken like that? All the doors were open, everything. When Maya comes, all the bondage comes with that. That's what the subtle message behind that. That when Maya comes in life, we will be bound. We will be bound. Maya means bondage. And when Krishna comes in the hand, it's liberation. That is why that pastime is spoken in that way. That when Krishna was in the hand, you are not bound anywhere. You are free to go where you want to go. There is no bondage. But if you carry Maya in the hand, you will be bound immediately. There is no freedom. In the Katharupam, in the form of pastime, when it is spoken like this, the subtle message is also kept inside that. In the when we see Krishna and Maya properly, then you can understand that Maya means bondage. Krishna means liberation, isn't it? Krishna means liberation. So as soon as they got in inside, she started crying. Better not to say crying. She was, roaring, not crying. Some babies are like that, isn't it? They'll just roar. They don't cry. They just started roaring inside. How was she roaring? Qua, 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 like that she was roaring. Means, where is Kamsa, where is Kamsa? That's what she was asking for. For Kamsa. And as soon as that sound came out, immediately these people who were standing and sleeping outside, they woke up. They thought somebody, the child is born. They realized that. Went and informed Kamsa very promptly as they were told. And Kamsa came back from there with the sword in the hand. And he was looking very fresh after a good sleep at night. And Vasudeva and Devaki thought, what were they thinking? He is already as killed all the other children, and he's going to do the same thing with this baby also. So, other children I have taken them to him without asking for it. But what shall I say about this child now? What is Kamsa going to do? He said like that. Said, first thing they said to Kamsa, when Kamsa arrived, that this is a girl, don't kill her. It's a girl, he said. And didn't tell them that it is not our child. That they didn't say, but just said that it's a girl. Why should he kill? So in Vasudeva's mind, all these thoughts are going on. That what should I say to Kamsa? It's a girl, it's not a boy. And Kamsa was expecting a boy to be there, who is going to kill him later. And should I tell Kamsa that this is another child? It's not the real child. What should I say? How should I cover it up? All these thoughts were going inside. And in Kamsa was thinking also at the same time certain things. Kamsa says, how did this become a girl? He was expecting a boy. How did this become a girl? And is it possible that, is this the real one? He started doubts, isn't it? You see how Maya plays the game. Is this the real one? Not only that, one before this birth, Devaki had a miscarriage, isn't it? Devaki had a miscarriage with Balram. So that Kamsa doesn't know. Kamsa knows that there was a miscarriage. But where the child was taken, all those things are unknown to Kamsa. So Kamsa's calculation is all going wrong. Primarily, Kamsa was not very good at maths. Even counting was very difficult for him. All he knew was how to control everybody in this world. Real Kamsa's nature. He said, control everybody. Bring under control. So that was Kamsa's nature. So Kamsa started thinking. So suddenly he thought that it's no point in keep thinking about it. There's not going to be any answer. Whether it is the eighth child, and which is the eighth child? Eighth child is not a boy, instead a girl has come. Have something wrong in my counting? Because 8 years he has been counting, you have to remember that. In eight years, if you have to count 1 to 8, it's a bit complicated. You can easily get mistaken, isn't it? If you straight away count 1 to 8, it's no problem. But if you take 8 years to count 8, then it takes a long time. So many mistakes can happen. So that's what has happened here. So Kamsa decided, let me kill all children. That's the solution to the problem. Let me kill all children. Thinking like that, Kamsa caught hold of that baby's feet. Kamsa caught hold of the baby's feet. And what did he do? He pulled her from Devaki's hands. From Devaki's hands. And as soon as he pulled her from Devaki's hands and threw the child baby to the rock outside, the baby didn't fall on the rock, it went into the sky straight away. It went into the sky straight away. When it was in the sky, she stood there. And that form of Yogamaya is given in the Devi Mahalmyam as a dhyanam for meditation. Devotees of Devi use that verse. It's a very famous verse. And this verse is the one which the devotees of Sri Parvati, Maya, Maya's personification, Sri Parvati or Ambiga, or the different names mentioned in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? Ishani, Narayani and all that. That form was there in the sky. It's a dhyana shlokam used for that form. They remember and meditate on that form. Ashtau bhujangim mahishasya mardinim sashanga chakram sharashuladharinim tam divya yogim sahajada vedasim durgam sadam sharanamaham pravadyem. Ashtau bhujangim mahishasya mardinim sashanga chakram sharashuladharinim tam divya yogim sahajada vedasim durgam sadam sharanamaham pravadye. This is that famous 800 form of Yogamaya. Yogamaya in her 800 form, 8 weapons in the hand. And she was standing there and Kamsa saw her. Kamsa saw her. And that is the verse you will see. How Kamsa is dealing with her is in the next chapter, 4th chapter. If you look at the 12th verse, that you can see that how she spoke to Kamsa. In the 4th chapter, 12th verse, how she spoke to Kamsa, how she is speaking to him. That 12th verse. Kim maya hraya manda jadaha khalita vandakat yatrakava purvashatur mahimsi kripanan vyatham. Kim maya hraya manda jadaha khalu tava andakrat yatrakava purvashatru mahimsi kripanan vyatham. I've left all the verses because they are part of the katha more. Nothing much about the philosophy or Upanishad in there. They are just like the stories spoken, which we will discuss another time when we get time. We will go on, move to the important verses like Tattvam involved. So here what happened was that Kamsa, that Asyaso Ashtame Garbham. If you look at that verse, you will see demigods also used to call Kamsa in that way. What is that? That here you will see that Asyaso, if you look into the first chapter, in the verse 34, you will see something interesting, connection here. That in the first chapter, 34 verse, how Krishna, Kamsa was never addressed as Kamsa any time. They used to address like this, that Pati Pragrahinam Kamsama Bhashyaha Shariravak Asyaswa Ashtamo Garbo Handhayam Vahase Abhudam. You see there, this was spoken when Kamsa was driving the chariot of Devaki and Vasudev. He was driving the chariot back to the palace after the marriage. From the sky, this voice came. The verse was Asyaso Ashtamo Garbho Handayam Vahase Bhudam. Then Asyast, the eighth child of this lady, Devaki Devi, will Garbham Handayam, will kill you. Vahase Abhudam. Vahase Abhudam. Abhudam means that one who has no proper intelligence, stupid, mudha, in other words. So, whom you are carrying in your chariot, her eighth child will kill you. That's all it said. So, there also, it never addressed as Kamsa. It was addressed as Mudha. Abhude Vahase Buddha. Abhuda. Asyaso Ashtamo Garbo Handayam Vahase Abhuda. And in the same way, in here also, you will see in this 12th verse, Himmaya Hadaya Amandam. Jadaha Kalutava Andakrit. Instead of using Abhude, here it is called Manda. Never addresses as Kamsa. Always some adjective is used while addressing Kamsa. Asking here, what benefit do you get by killing me? What benefit are you going to get by killing me? The person who is going to kill me, the death personified, has already taken birth. Don't kill these children unnecessarily. Don't kill the children unnecessarily. Like that. So when this happened, Kamsa never thought. Kamsa also, the demigods, Asyastu Ashtamo Garbo Handayam Vase Budam, said, eighth child will kill you. And that is what he said. So the word used was Abhudha. Abhudha was the word used. Kamsa was never called. Kamsa decided that it is addressed to him. Kamsa made the decision that it is addressed to me. And is definitely addressed to me. And what did they call? They called him stupid. Mudha, in other words. Or fool. So, there it mentions that Kamsa decided that it is addressing to me. So similarly here, it was at that time she did the same thing, isn't it? In the prison. Sorry, when the marriage happened. At that time also it is she who spoke from the sky. Who spoke from the sky to Krishna, Kamsa was her. Yogamaya spoke from the sky. At that time also didn't use the word Kamsa, said Abhudhe, one who has no brain, stupid. Like that address Krishna. Here again she is talking to Kamsa. This time uses the word Mahadaya Manda Jadaha. Again, brainless person. No brain is coming in your head. In other words, you have no brain. So Manda she called. The child is born to kill you. Who is going to kill you is born. So please don't kill all these devotees. Don't give any pain to them. Saying that she disappeared. Kamsa stood there for a while, in little perplexed about the whole scene. What was happening? So he was saying at that time, I thought that only we human beings tell lies. But now I start seeing that the demigods also tell lies. They are also like us. They are not much different. Because he said something there. So Kamsa knew when the voice came from the sky, and when he heard this voice from the Yogamaya, he knew it's the same person who is speaking both times. And there she said something, now it is something else she is saying. So they are also lying to me, he says. Kamsa is thinking like that about her, about Yogamaya. So that's why you will see in the 17th verse, Kamsa is speaking philosophy now. Kamsa's philosophy. Kamsa is becoming a philosopher now. He is telling us how important this human life is for self-realization. Kamsa is saying this. That is the 17th verse. Devam apyamradam vakti namartya eva kevalam yad vishrambhadaham pava susur nihadavan shishun. I used to think that human beings tell lies. But now, devam apyamradam vakti namartya kevalam. Devam, or this destiny, or those who are controlling our destiny, they also tell lies. Even they don't tell the truth, he says. Yes, vishramba adaham pava sosur nihadavan shishun. Because I trusted her words before, I killed all those children unnecessarily. Kamsa is now lamenting about that. And he says after that anurdam vahi and kevalam. And also he says here, that demigods are started telling lies. I've been here, the eighth child, for the last 8 years. And all these last, because it's not only 8 years, it's taken about over 10 years. All these things have happened over a period of 10 years. And all what has happened in all these 10 years was, Kamsa was checking his blood pressure every day. And it was going up and down all the time. The BP. BP was going up and down. That's all he remembers. He can't remember anything else. All confused, completely confused with the words what he heard from Yogamaya first, and Yogamaya again speaking in another language now. So it's all getting confused. So he says here that I've killed those children unnecessarily, and not only that, I've given a lot of trouble to Vasudeva and Devaki. Suddenly, in Kamsa's mind, a feeling of love for Devaki appeared, suddenly feeling some compassion and love for Devaki, which wasn't there before, suddenly started manifesting in him. And he says, goes to Devaki and start calling her my dear sister and all that. So that is what is, and you'll see in the 15th verse, Aho Bhagini, this is all happening in the prison. Aho Bhagini, Aho Bhama, Mayamam Badabhapmana, Purushadamiva Abhatyam Bahavo Himsida Sudaham. That my dear sister, that I am a very sinful person. I have killed all of your children. How sad it is what I have done. Comes I saying, how sad that what I have done. Sattvaham tyakta karunyam tyakta jnadi ajnadi suhrat khalaha kam logan vai gamishyami brahmaheva mrudashvasan. That I am a person who has not given any, shown any compassion to my relatives and friends, and I have given up all of them, and it is as good as I am a person who has killed so many. Result is that what kind of hellish planets will I be? Kamsa is saying. So Kamsa also believed in hellish planets. It looks like that. He says, which kind of hellish planets will I end up? Kamsa is asking this question. So, and then if you look into the 18th verse, that is philosophy. Kamsa saying, Ma sho janam mahabhaga almajan sukradam bhuja jandavo nasadai gatra devadhinastada sadem. He says to Vasudev and Devaki, Kamsa is saying that please don't feel bad about those children who are killed like that. Don't cry about them, because no living entity has a permanent life in this world. Kamsa, how do you think about Kamsa's words? In the same way you will see Hiranyakashipu also talking. When he talks to, after Hiranyaksha was killed, then Hiranyakashipu, his mother, she was lamenting, the brother has been killed, isn't it? So Hiranyakashipu says to his mother and to Hiranyaksha's wife, don't feel bad about it. Whoever is born in this world has to die. The same second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it seems that Hiranyakashipu and Kamsa knew Bhagavad Gita. That jatasehi dhruva mrtyu dhruvam janma mrtasya ja. Whoever is born, he has to die, and whoever is die, he has to take birth. This is what Krishna says there, isn't it? Jadasehi dhruva matyu dhruvam janma mrudasya. And Krishna says to Arjuna, tasmad abarihari arthe. There is no solution to that problem. Natvam shochitum arhasi. Therefore, you shouldn't cry. Krishna says this to Arjuna. So it seems Kamsa must have picked it up from somewhere. He got the message. He's saying the same thing here in his own way. He is putting it to Vasudeva and Devaki like that. So not only he says like that, he says here, Jandavona Sadaigatram, that the life in this world is a very short period of time. Kamsa is saying. Not only that, even when they are living in this world, they are not together, because they are controlled by their previous karma. Sometimes we can see that family break up and they all go in different ways, isn't it? So Kamsa is saying to Vasudeva and Devaki, there is no guarantee that even if you are living in this world, you will not be able to live with all your family members together for all time. That doesn't happen. So in other words, I've killed them, don't worry about it. I just killed them because you are sin, don't lament about it. It all can happen in life. So this is why Kamsa is consoling them. But, and then he's saying to her, just like a Rakshasa, I have given you pain. And which world, which planets will I go to? And I'm not responsible. I've given you a lot of trouble in that way, but I'm not responsible for that, he says. I'm not responsible for that. That, and then, in a great apologetic mood, Kamsa even says, I'll touch the feet of Devaki as an apology. He's saying like that to her. Devaki heard all these things. And both of them started, their hearts started getting melted, because they are devotees, isn't it? Very quickly they feel the compassion for when somebody apologizes so sincerely like Kamsa did. Heart started getting melted, and Devaki started telling them, don't worry about it, what has happened and all that. He says to her, says to Kamsa like this. So they started thinking that everything Kamsa has spoken is true, that Kamsa is speaking very sincere mood. Ultimately Kamsa says, Everybody is traveling in this world according to their karma, and nobody else is responsible for that. According to the karma, everything is happening in life. And and for his convenience, he brought the theory of karma there, just to suit his own his own situation. And saying that, he left the prison house and walked away from there. And what did he do? As soon as he went back, it was early hours in the morning, he called a cabinet meeting. All the cabinet was called in for the meeting, because what is now, he is more or less clear that the meeting has to happen and there has to, some decisions has to be made about this person who has taken birth to kill him. And that is what you will find there, that the decision was taken in the meeting. Wherever devotees are living, or great pious personalities are living, devotees, sadhus, mahatmas, kill them all first. Because that is the source, they are all supporting Krishna. They all support Krishna. It is due to their prayer that Krishna gets the strength, and who, the person who is going to come and kill us. So he says like that, that's the only way. Give them as much trouble as possible to brahmanas, to the sadhus, to the devotees, everyone. And what else? Kill all the cows. Kill all the cows. And nobody should be allowed to perform any sacrifices. Because that society, in that society, sacrifice was important for them. Sacrifice was important for them. Various sacrifices they performed. You can see later on, Nanda Maharaj also performing sacrifices to please the Govardhana Hill. Gosavam, that was another sacrifice Nanda Maharaj performed for pleasing the cows, for their benefit. So various sacrifices mentioned in the Shastram, they followed all that sacrifices. So sacrifices were not acceptable for Kamsa. Kamsa said no sacrifices. He stopped everything. And he started also give as much pain as possible to all the other devotees also. So these kind of decisions will be there when Kamsa rules, when Kamsa's rule. Kamsa's administration means like this. Give as much pain as possible to the God-conscious people. No spiritual life is allowed. And as much trouble as possible to the devotees. It always happens. So, Kamsa's, it is a cabinet decision. Kamsa's cabinet. Cabinet decision it is taken. So, that you will see in that verse. Verse number 40. If you look verse 40, you will see there that decision, how it was, decision was taken. Verse 40 says, Tasmal sarvalpana rajan brahmanan brahmavadina tapasino yajnashilan yashahan mo havirdugaha vipragavascha vedascha tapasatyam damashama shaddhadayatidishaja kratavascha hare stanu. Those two verses, Kamsa is saying, all, and in 39 also, Moolam hi Vishnur devanam yatra dharma sanatana tasaja brahmago vipro tapo yajnasa dakshinaha. So they are basically the same thing, that all demigods and all of them are getting the help from Vishnu, and Vishnu is based on Vishnu exists in Sanatana Dharma, in that Dharmam. And Dharmam, the root of that Dharmam is Vedam. And Vedam, Brahmana, cows and austerities, yajnam, sacrifices, that strength increases Vishnu's strength. It was spoken like that. So Kamsa's decision was there. Vishnu, if you want to drive away Vishnu from here, you have to stop all these kind of things. No sacrifices, no brahmanas, no deity worship, no temples, and no cows. Kill all the cows and stop all the sacrifices. So, and give as much pain as possible, then Vishnu can't come. Saying like this, and he put a ban on everything. There should not be any bhakti in anybody, no thinking about spiritual life, nothing like that. So if you do all that, the demigods won't get much power, because sacrifices strengthens the demigods, and sattugunam will not be there. There will be more rajogunam and tamogunam. So this is the solution to the problem, and the result of that, they have taken the decision to kill all the children, and it is made as a program from the government. So just like Yogamaya does in many things, that they arranged a person to do that. It was a long-term plan, two-year plan or something. And in charge, who was given that responsibility was Putana. Putana was given the responsibility. So the decision was, Any children who are born for one whole year, last one year, they should all be killed. And Pudana also started the journey, and Pudana's liberation is the first pastime of Krishna, which happened on the sixth day. So at all this time, after Krishna's appearance, there was an amazing thing what happened in Vrajam, in the Vrajam, what is known as the Krishnavadarolsava Sambhramam Sprasha, that is a word used. The festival, Nandotsavam. It's called Nandotsavam. Krishna's appearance and how the cowherd men and the gopis, Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Devi, they all celebrated Krishna's appearance in this world. It lasted for 5 days. 5 days they have, it lasted. And that pastime of Krishna is one of the most beautiful pastimes of Krishna's appearance in this world. As soon as Krishna appeared, you can read in the Bhagavatam, we have talked about that before also. And appearance, the beauty of Krishna's appearance, the simple life of those people, that cowherd men and the gopis, their lifestyle, their truthfulness in them, and their affection for the newborn baby, and the change that has happened in the whole society by Krishna's appearance. All those things Sukadeva Goswami describes very graphically in whole chapter, in the fifth chapter, Nandolsavam. Nandolsavam is the discussion in the fifth chapter. And Sukadeva Goswami says, he was not very particular about seeing Krishna. He was more interested in seeing the devotees, how they react to Krishna's appearance. He says, Krishna I can see later. There is no rush to go and see Krishna. So what did Sukadeva Goswami do? Sukadeva Goswami didn't go to see Krishna. Instead, he stood there and watched everybody going to see Krishna. Sometimes it's interesting to watch that. People, when they have, in normal circumstances, when on a special day, if you go to a temple, the interesting thing is not seeing the deity or seeing Krishna there. Keep looking at everyone who is waiting in the queue to see Krishna. That is an interesting thing to watch. Each one of them will have a different expression on their face. All of them. Particularly when you have devotees like the gopis. When Krishna informed, when Krishna appeared, first thing Nanda Maharaj came to know about it, a lot of things happened. We talked about that before. We haven't got so much time to go into it. But very briefly, first thing what Nanda Maharaj did was, the system was that child was born and there, Krishna is there now. First thing was all the Sutigagriham. Sutigagriham means the where delivery happened. There is no entrance for the men there. It's completely women's control. So what they have done, first they had to show the baby to Yashoda Devi. So they picked up Krishna and showed Krishna to Yashoda Devi. Yashoda Devi was fully exhausted after the delivery and all that. She was lying there. She saw the baby and held the baby close to herself. And Yashoda felt a great happiness seeing Krishna. First time Yashoda is seeing Krishna. And a strong bondage between Yashoda Devi and Krishna. And then after that, Nanda Maharaj is waiting impatiently outside. You have to remember Nanda Maharaj's and Yashoda's life. They were old people. They were not young couple newly married. Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, probably they were close to 40 years old. They never had any children and they were thinking that they were not going to have any children. It was then that all these sudden things happened in their life. So at that age, when the parents are very old and they had a child born, they will be a little different than the young couple for them when the children are born, isn't it? It's a little different there. So Yashoda Devi was becoming so attached to Krishna at that time, and Nanda Maharaj was more anxiety to see the baby who is born. Nanda Maharaj was waiting outside. He has no permission to enter into the delivery room. So the principle was, system was that Nanda Maharaj has to wait outside. And the gopis knew, who were nursing Yashoda Devi, they knew that Nanda Maharaj is waiting outside and Maharaj should see the child. So first they brought the lamp and brought inside. There was no electricity. They brought the lamp and oil lamp, ghee lamp or whatever that is. They are burning outside. And they told Nanda Maharaj to come and sit there. So Nanda Maharaj came and sat there. One gopi who brought, a lot of things happened inside, in between. That's a lot of time. So they brought the baby outside and showed the baby to Nanda Maharaj first time. First time, Nanda Maharaj is seeing Krishna. So when a new baby is born, Nanda Maharaj felt that this gopi who has brought this baby to him, Nanda Maharaj felt a lot of happiness towards her and he wanted to give a lot of presents to her. So by now, Nanda Maharaj has organized everything with the help of Rohini. Rohini has helped Nanda Maharaj how to manage the crowd. Nanda Maharaj is the king, isn't it? So first time, after a long time, Nanda Maharaj had a baby. And this was announced the whole of Rajam. Whole of Rajam, it was announced. How was it announced? Two people were sent in a bullock cart with a big drum. And they will go to drive that bullock cart all over the streets and make the announcement. Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Devi had a baby. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi and baby are very happy. Everyone should come. They are looking for everyone to come and visit them. And say this, bang the drum, doom, doom, doom. Like that they bang the drum. In this way they continued announcing Krishna's appearance in this. Everything very simple way. The announcement is very simple. And when the announcement happened, all the gopis who were sleeping, they got up. Straight away they got up from their beds and they wanted to come and see Krishna straight away. Wanted to come and see Krishna straight away. So they all getting ready to come to see Krishna. And Sukadeva Goswami is saying, he was watching them, how they are preparing themselves. He has a beautiful description about the gopis there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He's saying there that gopis, how they are dressing up to go and see Krishna. Because they were going to see Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi, they all had their best outfits, best clothes they were wearing. The cowherd men, they were also, they have a very special dress. Cowherd men, as discussed in the Bhagavatam, is they had the turban. They had the big turban which they wear, isn't it? So that's what it says here. Maharha Vastrabharana Kanjugoshnisha Bhushida Gopa Samayayu Rajan Nanopayana Panayam. That is the verse number 8 in 5th chapter. This is Nandotsavam, what we are talking about, that celebration of Krishna's appearance. That Maharha Vastrabharana Kanjagoshnisha Bhushida Gopya Samaya Yurajan Nanopayana Panayam Gopyas Chagarne Mudida Yashodaya Sudodbhavam Alpanam Bhushayam Chakro Vastra Kalpanjana Divi Navakunguma Kinjalkam Ugabhangaja Bodhaya Beli Bisturidam Janu Pradishronyas Chalan Kripaha Kuchaha. Says here that very, very expensive clothes they were wearing and the jewelry and the cowherd men with their turbans, everything, and they were carrying a lot of things to present it to when they see the baby. So when Yashoda Devi had this baby, the whole Gokulam fell into happiness. They all felt very happy about that. And all the gopis, they decorated themselves very, very nicely. Very nicely they decorated. Less like the wearing special jewelry and also how they modify their face, the eyes, and they take their own time to do all that, isn't it? So that's how they did all that, and they came, and they looked so beautiful. Sukadeva Goswami is saying about the gopis, that, and they were all going to see Krishna. And Sukadeva Goswami says that they are going in a line, one behind the other. It seems that queue system was there also then. They didn't push. Now in India, they don't follow queue. They push. Whoever can push the maximum, they are in the front. But it seems that those days they followed queue. Because that's how it is presented here. Gopya samrishtamani kundala nishka kandyaha chitrambaraha padishikha chudamalya varshaha nandalayam savalaya vrajadir virejor Vyalola, Kundala, Payodhara, Harashobhaha. That's a verse about that gopis going to see Krishna.
ഗോപ്യാസുമൃഷ്ടമണികുണ്ഠല നിഷ്കകണ്ഠ്യ ചിത്രാംബരാഹ പതിശിഖാച്യുതമാല്യവർഷാഹ. അതേവേഴ്സ് ഫ്രം ദേ ഹാവ് കെപ്റ്റ് ഫ്ലവേഴ്സ് ഇൻ ദർ ഹെഡ്സ് ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് വാസ് ഫോളിംഗ് ഓഫ്. പതിശിഖാച്യുത മാല്യവർഷാഹ. സോ ത്രൂ ഔട്ട് വെൻ ദേ വർ വാക്കിംഗ് ദ ഫ്ലവേഴ്സ് ആർ ഫോളിംഗ് ഫ്രം ദർ ഹെഡ്. സോ ഓൾ ത്രൂ ദ വേ യു ക്യാൻ സീ ദി ഫ്ലവേഴ്സ് എവ്രിവെയർ. വാട്ട് എൽസ്? ഗോപ്യാഹ സുമൃഷ്ടമണികുണ്ഡല നിഷ്കകണ്ഠ്യ ചിത്രാംബരാഹ പതിശിഖാച്യുത മാല്യവർഷാഹ. That Manikundalam, they have wearing such jewelry in them. They look very extraordinarily beautiful with all that jewelry what they were wearing. Chitrambaraha Padishikachudamalya Varshaha Nandalayam Savalaya Vrajadir Virejum. The gopis, when they were approaching the Nandamaharaj's house, Vyalola Kundala Payodhara Hara Shobhaha. Because they were wearing these, what do they call this, which is hung? Earrings, yeah. Earrings. And they were reflecting on their cheek. They were so beautiful, it was reflecting on their cheek, Sukadeva Goswami says. Vyalola kundhala payodhara hara shobhaha. That shobha, that beauty, Sukadeva Goswami is specially mentioning in the Srimad Bhagavatam about their about the gopis going to see Krishna. Then gopis went to this festival is itself a important topic. Verse by verse we have to talk about this Nandotsavam. Nandotsavam is more than appearance, it is the most beautiful part. All what has happened there, these cowherd men and gopis, what do they have? What's their wealth? Their wealth is cows. Cows means what? Plenty of butter, plenty of milk, plenty of yogurt, everything, isn't it? So whenever they went to see Krishna, this is what they carried with them. That day itself, this attachment to the yogurt and milk has started. And they brought so much yogurt and so much milk, there were no pots to fill in the house. There were no pots to fill. So fortunately, Nanda Maharaj had some assistants, cowherd men there. What they did was they went to Kalindi River and brought some boats from there. Big boats from the Kalindi River. They washed it nicely and brought it back. They pulled all the boats all the way from Kalindi River to Nanda Maharaj's house. And they brought there, and whatever they have brought, milk, everything, they poured into these different boats. Sometimes what happened was, they will collect this, one cowherd man will take the milk from the other and throw it on his face, the whole thing. And what laugh? And they both will laugh each other. No enmity, ill feeling or anything. Just like when they do snowball here. Isn't it? The boys throw at you snowball. You don't feel so upset about that. But sometimes people will protest, but sometimes they don't. They take it in a right way. But similarly, there also, our cowherd men were playing with milk, throwing each other with milk and yogurt. So everyone was covered in milk and yogurt. Imagine that. Everybody was covered in milk and yogurt. This is what was happening there. This is how they celebrated Krishna's appearance. And for 5 days, this continued. This continued for 5 days, five full days, celebration of Krishna's appearance. Because there were so many people coming, it was impossible to finish everything in one day. And Nanda Maharaj did not want anyone to go back without seeing Krishna. And so Nanda Maharaj and Rohini set up a system. What was the system? Inside the house in one room, next to each other in two cots, one in Krishna and one Balram, next to that, each other. By now, Balram has appeared a few days before. So Rohini was practically in a situation to do some household work. Yashoda was not. Yashoda was just had the delivery. So Rohini was helping Nanda Maharaj in organizing all these things. So what did Rohini do? Rohini, what she did was, she told them that two men should stand outside on one at the entry and two men at the exit. And a group of cowherd men can come inside, they can see the baby, they can offer their presence, and then they can come out, and the other two men outside at the exit gate, they will take the presence and give it to Nanda Maharaj, and Nanda Maharaj will hand over the presence to the visitors. This was the system they created like that, just to have some discipline there, not have any stampede or quarrel or anything like that. So cowherd men, they were very happy, they were doing that service. Gopis were busy with Yashoda Devi in looking after her and the baby Krishna. All those things is going on at the same time. And whenever so much, if you ask the question, was Nanda Maharaj was so rich to give presents to so many people? Everywhere he was handing over so much jewelry and gold and whatever they want, expensive jewels, taking and giving it to people, visitors. Why did that happen? Why did that happen? That was the question Parikshit asked. How could Nanda Maharaj he had cows, that was his greatest asset. Where did all this jewelry, everything comes? The answer to that, Sukadeva Goswami says, then Rama Kridamabhun Rabam. Then as soon as you will see there in that one of the verses, Rama Kridamabhun Rabam. It says, if you look at verse 18 in that fifth chapter, that Rohini Jamahabhaga, 17th verse is Rohini Jamahabhaga Nandago Babinandida Vizaral Divyavasa Srakandha Bharanabhushidam Tadamarabhyanandasya Vraja Sarva Samardhiman Harer Nivas Alpa Gunai Rama Kredam Abhun Rabha. That means that as soon as Krishna was born, Lakshmi Devi was also, she was there to serve him. And because of Lakshmi Devi's presence, Lakshmi was Rama Kridam Abhun Rupa. Rama Devi, Krishna was, Devi was present there. Rama Devi, Rama means Lakshmi. Lakshmi was present there. There was no shortage of any wealth. As soon as you take anything from the pot, from the box, it gets filled again with gold and jewelry. And this is what was happening. It was the most interesting festival you can ever imagine. That everything get automatically filled, whatever you need. Here what happens normally in our festival, prasadam run out. So a few hundred people have to go without prasadam. Things like that happen. But here in this festival, there was no shortage of anything. Anything you wanted, it is there. Why? Lakshmi Devi also said, my master has come and he has appeared here. So there should not be anything shortage there. No shortage should happen. That's why it mentions there, Tada Arabhyanandasya Vraja Sarva Samardhiman, all Samardhi, opulence there. Harer Nivas Alma Gunaihi Rama Kridamabhun Rupaha. Then, Harer Nivas Alma Gunaihi, that because of her presence, that place has become a playground for Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi started manifesting herself there, in order to supply everything what was required. So all these things happened, and Nanda Maharaj was so from now on it's all Krishna's pastimes. So Mahamaya or Yogamaya said to Krishna, to Kamsa, that your killer has already born, and don't give any trouble to Vasudeva and Devaki, saying that she disappeared. So you can see here, when Krishna appeared, Maya also appeared at the same time. So everyone came to know. Nanda Maharaj was very happy. And Nanda Goba was very happy. That is why you will see in the first verse in that fifth chapter. Shri Shukavacham Nandastualpa Jamulpanni Jadahlado Mahamana Ahuya Vipran Daivajnyan Snada Shuchiralankritaham. That Nandastvalpajamulpanni Jadahlado Mahamanam. That as soon as the child was born, Nanda Maharaj felt extremely happy. And what did he do? He bathed himself, and in a pure way, he called some astrologers and performed certain ceremony, purificatory ceremonies, which are to be performed, and performed the ceremony in a such a way, all the different worship of different demigods, all that he organized at that point. Vasudeva felt very happy that way. And then he says here, all the Brahmanas were invited and gave them charity, and Nanda Goba called all the Brahmanas. Vasudeva could not do that. And Brahmanas who have studied Vedas very well, that is important. They were invited. They bathed and performed the karmam, sustainam, jata karmam, all this, and they worshipped the demigods through them. And many, many hundreds of cows, they were given in charity, and cows which were very well decorated. Many sadhu, devotees and brahmanas, they were fed. Here also, Sukadeva Goswami is telling us something, how to live in this world. He says here, Kalena snanashau jabhyam, that is the fourth verse, samskare stavase jaya, shudhyandidhane sandushta, dravyan alpavidyaya. This is a message for the world, not for them. How they conducted their life and how to maintain that way of life in this world. That's what it says here. Kalena snana shaujabhyam samskare stava ijaya shudhyam didane sandushtya dravyan alpalpa vidyayam. Yeah. What it says here there is that how to purify everything in this world. How to purify everything in this world. Through time you can purify the earth. And by bathing, you purify your body. Bathing. With the water, you purify the body. And through samskaram, through purificatory processes, you purify our consciousness. Purify our consciousness. And mind gets purified when there is no desires inside. The way to purify the mind is not to keep any desires inside. That is the principle. See, they followed that system, unnecessarily cultivating desires inside and making the mind impure. That should not happen. That is what he is saying there. That different ways to purify different things. By bathing and through water, you can purify all the objects in this world. Gross body. Subtle body, mind should be purified by not creating any desire. And finally, by knowledge of the self, the self gets purified. That's what he's saying there. Dravyani, say, shudhyandi dhanei sandoshtyal, dravyan alma vidyaya. Alma, you have to purify the soul, purification of the soul by alma vidya, knowledge of the self. Knowledge of the self. So this verse is actually to tell us the process. Kalena snana shaujabhyam samskare stapa ijaya. Samskaram will help. Snanam, bathing, shaujam, different purificatory processes for purifying the body and the mind. Purifying the body and the mind. Sandushti. Sandushti means always satisfied. Always satisfied. That stage. No desires cultivated inside. That way the mind will get purified. Purification of mind. Being always satisfied and not cultivating any desires inside. Desires inside. If we develop that inside, then there is always happiness inside. There is always happiness inside. And by giving in charity, that's also. Shudhyandi dhanehi. All your karmam in this world gets purified by giving charity. By giving charity, your karmam gets purified. By keeping peace inside, not desiring anything, and always in a pleasant state, mood, you always will have santushti. Sandushti. That way mind is get purified. Alma, alma vidyaya. Soul by virtue of knowledge of the self. Or otherwise, studying shastram and cultivating knowledge. Cultivating knowledge. That way the soul gets purified. Soul is never impure. We know that. But in the conditioned state, while inside the body, we are unable to identify with the soul. So what does that mean? Through alma vidya, you realize the self. Through knowledge of the self, you realize the self. That cultivation of knowledge, what Krishna says there, isn't it? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna puts it in a different way. Abhaya sattvasam shuddhir jnana yoga vivasthiti dhanam damaschayat yascha swadhyayastava arjavam. If you look into, I think it is the 13th chapter, the beginning verses, we use that as 26 qualities of a devotee also, isn't it? Abhaya sattvasam shuddhi. Sattvasam shuddhi means purification of one's own existence in this world. How should one purify oneself? That abhaya sattva samshuddhi jnana yoga vivasthiti. So different way, different things are purified. Through charity, you purify your karma. Everyone's karma is bad. That is why we engage in so many different karma. Karma vasana, it creates, isn't it? So to escape from that karma vasana, the solution given to that is charity. This came from karma vasana. Then, purify the body with water by bathing. Purify the mind by not desiring anything and always keeping in a satisfied state. Purify the mind in that way. And many things get purified by time. For example, when things get very dirty in the world outside, there's a natural purification process going on here through the sun and the rain. Isn't it? Sun and the rain purifies this world. Sun knows how to purify the place everywhere. Sunshine. Or heavy rain purifies. Whichever way material nature has certain arrangements, they purify that. So all these purifications are happening inside. And Sudeva Goswami is saying here that the knowledge is necessary to purify the soul. To purify the soul. So that is addressing us. That is addressing us. Okay. After doing that, and how to live in this world with all these purifications. So anytime, anytime anything happens in life, Sudeva Goswami says that if you get an opportunity, utilize it for charity in that way. And why other purificatory processes, samskara karmam? That samskaram means dravya shuddhi. To purify the money what you earn in this world through various means, isn't it? We earn money in this world. That's also not very pure. That money we earn is also not very pure. So in order to purify that, for the sake of that, for the sake of the body, for the sake of the mind, because even the money that is earned in the wrong way, that will have create some vasanas inside, in us. So that purification is necessary for our own benefit. We have to purify that. And that is why I say, snana shaujabhyam. Snana means bathing, shaucha means achamanam. And by all that, body gets purified. Then there is 16 samskaram, shodasha samskaram mentioned. That includes austerities and penances, performing sacrifices, all of that. Mind gets purified, performing charity, and being satisfied with one can get, if he gets satisfied, that purifies the mind. Three kinds of dravyayatyam, jnanayatyam, kriyayatyam, all these things. Some purification related to body, some purification related to mind, and some purification related to the soul. Related to the soul. What is related to the body? Bathing every day twice, and not touching others as much as possible. As much as possible, not touching others. This is all purification of the self. Sometimes people come and give you a hug, what can you do? If you don't hug back, they will take it in the wrong way. So just chant Hare Krishna and give a hug. That's the only answer. What can you do when people come and do that? Sometimes it's very difficult. But this touching each other is not a good thing. It's not a, because all the vasanas grows through that physical contact, it goes into the other person. So you may get the wrong vasanas also from the, why should we transfer the vasanas? Already we are transferring each other so many things. So not a good thing. It is not brahminical. This hugging business is not a brahminical thing. But it's happening all the time throughout the temples, everywhere you are seeing this. You can't say anything. What to do? Because if you say anything, they'll get so upset. He has come to you. It happened to Lord Shiva even. What to talk about others? When Bhrigu went to hug Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva went to hug Bhrigu. Bhrigu says, don't touch me, he says. And he got so angry, he took his trident and wanted to kill him straight away. So that can happen within us also. So best thing is that if you have to hug, if a situation happens like that, as much as possible not to, but if you do have to, now what has happened is, sometimes I've noticed this also, you may also have noticed this, initially only devotees, men were hugging men and women were hugging women. But now men have started also hugging women devotees and women have also started hugging men devotees. It's all love everywhere you look. Everybody is loving so much each other now. You're getting a little shock there that bhakti is developing a much higher level now. It's frightening actually when you see that happening. It's all right in one level, in socializing you may do all that. But this is happening among the young men and young girls also quite a bit. So unfortunately Bhagavatam is not approving that. Bhagavatam is telling us like this, that don't do that. Because all these things, sarira sambandham, that is related to the body. So there are many reasons for all these things. It's not that it was just given like a law, bluntly written like that. Yoga Shastram describes this. why such and such a thing should not be done. And Shodasha Samskaram, after the baby is born, Jatakarmam, right up to the last death, there is so many purificatory ceremonies. So all these things, even after death, the ceremonies what you perform, the samskaram, that is also included in that. Everything, but all these things you will notice, it's all related to body. It's all related to body. Similarly, austerities and penances, chanting the holy name, japam, control of the eating, and whatever the senses likes, not allowing the senses to have it, this is all austerities and penances. And if you do like that, what will happen? This is called tapas. You know the word tapas. Tapas means, tapa means heat. If you don't give anything to the senses what it is asking for, the senses will get heated up. It will get heated up. And that is called tapas. That is what is called tapas. Then, then focusing the mind on Krishna or the holy name, doing all that is tapas, austerities. Manasascha indriyanam egagra paramam tapaha. By tapas, by austerities, the body gets purified, mind gets purified. And all the nadis, the nerves in the body also get purified. Then there is the third thing, yagam, sacrifice. What's the purpose of that? While working in this world, due to our previous karma and previous lifetimes, so many vasanas would have followed us. So many vasanas would have followed us. So, sometimes, due to our work in this world, we may get more wealth than what we need. More wealth than what we need. What will we do with that money? We'll put it in the bank, isn't it? That's what we will do. And then what will happen is, after putting it in the bank, you will start getting frightened about that when it starts getting bigger. What will you think? Will I lose it? Because suddenly one day when you get up in the morning, all banks are gone bust. So news comes. You'll have that fear inside. A lot of people had the fear recently, isn't it? Northern Rock has gone bust. And for a few days, people couldn't get sleep. Many, many old couple, they were crying that so all their life investment was in the bank and whether we'll get back the money. And so many scandals also always happen. So, whatever money we have excess than what we need to live in this world, Krishna's advice is don't accumulate. Don't accumulate wealth. If you have wealth, use it for, and to utilize that money is sacrifice. Utilize that money is for sacrifice. And this is what the kings did all the time. Solar dynasty, if you look particularly, including Ramachandra, when he came back after killing Ravana, first thing what he did was, he performed this sacrifice. Big sacrifice there. And Saumangalya Vasheshidam, that only Sita Devi, after that sacrifice, what was left? Sita Devi had only one small thread with only that marriage, what do they call that? Mangalya Sutram. That alone, Sita Devi. Sita Devi had no jewelry, nothing after that. So, we'll discuss it tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.